This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Cares if it was redlining at the end.
Ooh, I'd love to be queer.
My finger slipped. Hello, Houston, Galveston, the world, all the ships at sea, whoever's out there. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, yada yada, KPFT. You know what you're listening to. If not, well, too bad you're stuck on us. Because as you know, you're not allowed to change your dial. You can't change stations. You have to stick with us.
And you are.
My name is Chris Harrison. I will be one of the conductors of the Amtrak train that we call After Hours tonight.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the co-executive producer of the train wreck. We had new music tonight, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Thank you, J.D. Doyle.
I think we played the one before. It one sounded familiar. Doll. The first one we played. Kevin Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
The song was called Doll. From the CD, Doll.
Uh-huh.
Easy to remember. If I remember correctly, he's pretty good looking, too. And then followed up with Eric Hyman,
mm-hmm.
with an I, not a Y. Because with a Y, then that's a woman sort of thing, and apparently we don't have that tonight.
No, actually, tonight is the lesbian segment, and we are lesbianless.
Someone lost her lipstick. That was Bartender by Eric Hyman, mm-hmm. from One Night Stands.
Yes. J.D. Doyle has put together another wonderful compilation, and we can play every track from 1 to 12. Yes.
Two out of the 20 tracks.
I know it. Anyway.
Ooh.
What?
I just noticed the...
Yes. There's a beautiful picture of a... 50s photograph with...
Hey, J.D., you know...
Yes, he did.
You know, even Dunkin' Donuts, they sell you the whole. Thank you for that lovely support. the CD hole in the middle there is kind of obscuring something, so it's like, you know...
You are listening to After Hours, and this is our membership drive. That means we get your call of support at 713-526-5738 so that we can keep this show commercial-free. Oh, my God, that is the sound of a string of stamps being rubbed ever so lovingly across the microphone.
I'm pretty sure Tigger would enjoy a good rub like that.
And who wouldn't?
It's been a long time since I've had a good rub like that.
Oh, man.
But this is a little reminder that we want you to give till it hurts.
That's right. Tigger, one of our MBBs, supports this show with monetary, well...
Should we use the phrase? What? Should we use the phrase that pays?
What is it?
What the hell are you waiting for?
I see, yes.
Subtle.
Subtle.
If Tigger...
I've always been known for my subtlety.
Who is incarcerated can send the most precious thing that an MBB has, and that is stamps, to fulfill a pledge, then you have no excuse. The number is 713-526-5738. A little something here. Nibble is happening. Nibble, N-I-B-L. Knights in Black Leather. Yes, 2006.
A little something that posters the size of the wall.
It's huge, yes. And it's benefiting the Cult 45 Stone Soup Fund. That's happening Saturday, March the 18th. Yes, it's a little early, but this is an event you need to prepare for. Get on your calendars. 9 p.m. at the Ripcord. And they're also having a silent auction.
Is he reading ahead?
Yes. But I had already mentioned that it's benefiting the Cult 45 Stone Soup Fund. And the Cult 45s provide meat and produce for...
What?
With AIDS, yes. Who has
just
signed up.
I have a funny look on my face.
AIDS Foundation Houston, you know, people who... are living on SSI and not much more, and sometimes they have to decide whether they're going to eat or take meds. You know, that sometimes it comes to that. And that's why Stone Soup is here.
Now, where is their new location at?
Silent auction. It's at the Wesleyan. It's at the AIDS Foundation Houston office at Wesleyan.
Because I drove by where it used to be, and it's like, it's now a tattoo parlor slash bar.
Right.
That's disturbing.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's not in the Montrose anymore. It's on Wesleyan right off of Alabama.
Oh, okay.
At the AIDS Foundation Houston office. Right. You walk in the front door, and it's right there to your right. That's it. And at this nibble... ASL will be provided, American Sign Language.
Oh.
Don Gill always has ASL for any of his fundraising events.
I only know the dirty words.
I know. So come early to view the silent auction items and meet your friends. There will be a show, of course. Drag queens will be there. Yes, it is the Ripcord, and drag queens will be there on stage performing for you, as well as other entertainment.
Yeah, but that stage is so high, you can see up their skirts.
You didn't have to go there. The one thing you never want to do is look up a drag queen's skirt. It's not pretty.
Find out if they wax to the left or to the right.
I don't even want to know.
And speaking of waxing, we'll be waxing poetic in the second half of the show, hopefully. You guys, isn't it the poetry show tonight?
No, this is the second Wednesday.
Second? I thought it was the...
Second Friday.
Jimmy, look behind you.
Oh, my God.
There's a lesbian.
We have a lesbian in the house.
We weren't sure if you were going to be here.
That means, yes, we have a lesbian segment tonight, folks.
Yes, we do.
Good.
Hooray.
I am really happy to see you.
And I actually have a guest coming.
Wow.
Oh, good.
Who is your guest?
My guest tonight will be Carol Wyatt. The Carol Wyatt.
Really?
Right here in Houston.
How'd you get her?
Well, she's a personal friend of mine.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, she should be here any second, actually.
Okay.
All right.
So about 10, 15 minutes, we'll be talking to you. Great. Great. Ah, I feel so much better.
She's looking at me like, who is this strange person?
See, Smiley came through.
And now a moment of silence for the death of reality.
No. Smiley is a good friend of After Hours. He's now more involved with the news segment here. And you can hear his segment. He does at least one segment a day, it seems, the 5 o'clock news. local news.
So yeah, I've heard they're even doing the Envirobeat.
Mm-hmm.
On there. It's like I was listening going, gosh, that sounds familiar. And I go, it sounds off a smile. It's like, oh, okay.
Smiley Maddox.
All right, let's see what else we got here. As I
what do we have here? Because
fortunately, I still have internet.
I am still moving, you know, getting things situated, so I don't have all of my stuff available to me yet, and I'm not online. I have been not on the computer since January the 25th. It's like living in the old days. It's great. I don't get bothered. I have lots of free time. It's wonderful.
Oh, we can't have that.
And he's rediscovered fire.
That explains why you haven't replied to my email yet.
That's exactly right. That's right. I'm not hooked up. Not hooked up.
Jimmy Carper, unplugged.
Yes.
Beep. Oh. The Victory Fund Houston is having a... champagne brunch on Sunday, February 19th at the Renaissance Houston Hotel at 6 Greenway Plaza.
Ooh.
The featured speaker will be the Honorable Barney Frank,
United States
representative from Massachusetts.
Big Barn is coming, huh?
And remember, we even said it right, it's not Barney Fag, it's Barney Frank.
See?
People can write. Special guest will be the Honorable Lupe Valdez, the Sheriff of Dallas County.
Oh, yeah.
And the Honorable Elena Gajardo of the San Antonio City Council.
Wow.
And they'll be here to honor the Honorable Anise Parker and Sue Lovell, who is there.
When did Anise become honorable?
That's what the H-O there said.
Oh,
H-O-N.
Okay.
And the Honorable Sue Lovell. It comes with the title.
I guess.
You know. We don't have the sashes we give out like the other countries do.
Yeah, this is not a drag queen event, no.
I guess they're 501c3, so we can say the prices.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on to your socks, boys and girls. Tickets are $100.
Yes, it's not a cheapie.
Sponsorship opportunities are available. And you can contact David Arpin at 713-942-8910. Or Janine Brunez.
Oh, Janine.
At 713-520-1142.
I knew she was involved in that group.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's Barney Frank, so, you know, yeah, it's $100, but you get to see Barney Frank.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to see him very often in Texas, folks.
Yeah, I mean, and how many Barneys are out like him? You can also go to victoryfund.org for more information.
Cool.
Freedom to Marry Week is starting now, or starting the 12th. Houston Equal Rights Alliance, HERA, will be doing a kickoff party on Sunday, February 12th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. At the Modern B&B.
What?
4003 Hazard.
The Modern B&B?
That's what it says here.
Bed and breakfast?
Yeah.
4,000 Hazard?
4,003 Hazard.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. Appetizers and refreshments will be provided. There will also be a screening of The Times of Harvey Milk.
Oh, yeah. Boy, just a great, great film.
And that will be at the River Oaks Theater, 2009 West Gray, on February 16th. You'll also be able to meet the filmmaker, Rob Epstein.
No kidding.
Seating is limited, so reservations are recommended.
I can imagine.
There'll be a reception from 6:30 to 7:30, screen time 7:30 to 9, followed by a Q&A. Cost is $10 in person, either in advance or at the door, and there will be a signed copy of the DVD that'll be, I guess, the door prize.
Neat. Now, that's not a new film.
No.
I want to let folks know, but... on Harvey, that is probably the best film I have ever seen, and there have been several.
And concessions will be provided by HEB and St. Arnold Brewery. And more stuff coming up with the Freedom to Marry Week. We talked about the kickoff party.
Yes.
At the there. On Monday, February 13th, from 7 to 9, the movie Love One, We're Out, Mind, Body, and Soul... Actually, it's not the movie. It's going to be a discussion series.
Oh.
Part one, the psychology of sexual orientation and gender identity. will be at the Rice University Humanities Building, room 117. On the 14th, there will be a GLBT night out and Cupid karaoke with the community center at Hollywood Cafe. Part two of that discussion is on Wednesday. We'll be at the community center, and they'll be talking about the law in same-sex marriage. Jerry Simino, Jerry Simino will be the speaker.
Good.
On that. On February 16th, on Thursday, third part of the discussion, faith, traditions, and sexual orientation and gender identity, Tom Allen and Reverend Todd Williams and the Reverend Matt Tittle.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tittle.
Two T's.
Okay. That'll be at the Community Gospel Church. There'll be a demonstration on February 17th at the Harris County Clerk's Office, where they'll be asking GLBT couples to go and seek a marriage certificate.
Oh.
And then that night there'll be a mixer at Jeffrey's, the non-smoking club at the heart of Montrose.
Oh, yes.
And on next Saturday, there will be the Texas largest same-sex wedding celebration and demonstration for the right to marry at Community Gospel Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be followed up with a day in the park at Spots Park. For more information...
Sure hope it warms up.
You can go to familyequality.org. That's familyequality.org. Most of that's already covered.
Okay. ICOH, the Space City Empire, is presenting Rainbow Revival, happening this Sunday at 1 p.m. at Mary's, naturally. So, it's going to be one of those, folks. If you've been bad, watch out, because there might be some thunder and lightning going on with all these queens up there doing that revival stuff. But it's all in fun, and it's good for a good cause. And, of course, every Wednesday night at Mary's is the Jukebox Show with all kinds of fun entertainment. It's a weekly thing. And on... I know the Euriscus, Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, has Drag Queen Bingo every Tuesday night at Meteor.
February 14th is the postmark deadline for the first Peggy Rudd Transgender Scholarship.
Oh.
Presented by the Houston Transgender Unity Committee.
Yes.
The nonprofit organization will award two scholarships, one for $500 and one for $250,
mm-hmm.
at the annual Transgender Unity Banquet on April 15th.
Got your tickets?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That's too far off. Transgender individuals who are attending or will attend accredited institutions of higher learning are eligible. The application can be downloaded from www.HoustonTransgenderUnity.org. Tickets are now available for the banquet, which will be on April 15th at the West Chase Hilton. Some proceeds will support the scholarship fund. The keynote speaker of that event will be trans activist Dr. Marcy Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw her on the Discovery Channel.
You did, because she has taken over that little town in Colorado.
Yeah, I thought the name sounded familiar.
The good doctor there has finally retired, and she took over the practice. And it's probably the thing that's keeping that little town alive.
Yeah, they were saying that.
Yes, it's sexual reassignment surgery. In fact,
she's not just a doctor. She's also a client.
That's right. Plus, she is a gynecologist, but the business of SRS has grown so much, she might have to give up her gynecology pediatrician practice.
I'm telling my mind to behave. Tickets are $50 in advance, $60 at the door, and you can go to that same website, HoustonTransgenderUnity.org, or Jules Crossdresser's Boutique.
Ah, yes.
At 2404 Taft
at Fairview.
We've already discussed that one to death.
Okay. Why don't we put on some music and see if Diane's ready?
Okay. Should we go with a little Farron?
Sure.
We're going to use up JDCD.
Which, there are two there by Farron.
I think I put on the second one, okay. My Girl.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
So we're going to do that.
That's a great version.
And we're going to hopefully bring in Diane. But before we do that.
Yes.
Real quick, remember, this is Pledge Drive.
Oh, yes. We cannot forget.
Last week, we did good.
Yes.
We done good, folks.
We done good.
We've got a monetary goal, and we've got a sacrificing virgins goal.
Yes.
And we made both, which I think is why the cold front came through. hell is freezing over.
Yes.
Because we made both our goals. And without Robert.
I know.
We miss him. The fact is that, you know, not one person can carry this show.
That's true.
Lord knows I try. yeah, click. But we need your support. And
We do. We
already have Paul. You know, yeah, like I said, we need virgins. And
Paul comes through.
Paul's not a virgin to this.
Not by a long shot. Paul comes through for every single one. Every single membership drive. Paul writes the check. And we've got Paul writing a check every time we have a membership drive. We've got Tigger, our MBB, who comes through with stamps, the most precious thing that an incarcerated person has. And he donates stamps on a monthly basis to fulfill the goal. So, what's your excuse out there?
What the hell are you waiting for?
You know you love this show. You've been listening to it for years. We've been on almost 18 and a half years now.
Oh, God, we're legal now?
Yeah.
Well, for some things.
Well, in March, I guess, will be 18 and a half years because that's when I first started.
Even the ones listening under the pillows.
Even the ones, yes, that's right.
And that's the thing, that's what right. we really look at with this show is the fact that, you know, other shows say, well, I goofed that up. Other shows say that, you know, for every one person that donates, they're carrying 16 people on their back. We have more because, you know, we have to include the teenagers who are physically sitting in a closet or under their bed listening to the show. And to our MBBs out there who, you know, listen to the show and contribute greatly to our show.
Through their letters each week.
Through their letters. And, you know, it's something we need to hear from you, the free worlders.
That's right.
The people out there who, you know, work that 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let us know that what we're doing on here is worth it.
We have had segment producers who, years back, listened to this show in the closet. Yes.
I used to listen to this show with one of those $2 Radio Shack pillow speakers. It looked like a diaphragm on a rope.
Then you showed up here one night, and look at you now.
Oh, I barely remember that night. I was feeling no pain.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the sort of thing of what this show is about. And so we need you to call in 713-526-5738. Also, if you put a pledge down on plastic, did we set an amount on that?
$50 on plastic.
$50 on plastic. We got the soundtrack to the movie Trans America for you. The Golden Globe award-winning movie. I don't know if it's up for any Oscars.
I'm not sure.
I forgot to look on that.
But I think Golden Globe would be enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Felicity Huffman won for Best Female. Then again, you know, you always seem to get an award there. You put on the clothing of the opposite sex, and she did the opposite.
So that's
right. She did kind of a Victor Victoria thing.
She did.
And, of course, you get an award for that. So we've got that to throw your way. Just call in 713-526-5738. Let's play the Farron that I promised. Something starts with the letter P.
And then Diane Rose.
And then we've got Diane's intro, and we will be back. Remember, 713-526-5738.
I got so much honey, bees
Good evening, folks. This is Diane Rose and the Diane Rose Show. I hope you're up and ready to hear some ranting tonight. The topic tonight's going to be our lovely president and some of the appointees that he's made in very important departments that have let our citizens down, particularly recently the FEMA fiasco in Mississippi and Louisiana. I have some personal experience there. I grew up in Gulfport, Biloxi area of Mississippi. My parents lived there for 37 years and had 9.5 feet of water in their house, losing everything.
I've got a friend of mine that has family in Gulfport and someone that was in Burris.
Yeah. All the news and everything you hear about New Orleans, you don't hear that much about Mississippi, and that was where the eye of the hurricane went through.
Yeah.
You know, I went through Camille. In Camille, we only had less than a foot of water in the house versus 9.5 feet of water here. A different benchmark altogether. Of course, Camille was 1969, so a lot of building has taken place since then. But the devastation is, it looks like an atomic bomb went off there. And people are still living in tents in front of their houses with a FEMA trailer sitting right next to them with no keys.
Oh, yeah. I had heard there were some problems with the trailers, but they've issued it but didn't let them in.
Well, there's been a bunch of problems. My sister's boyfriend's grandmother lost her house. She's 82 years old, has been waiting for a trailer was 6 months now. They've called her twice and told her her trailer would be there within 3 days. It's still not there. She expects it next week again. We'll see what happens. Some of those people not fortunate enough to have a tent or a trailer are living in mold-infected houses with their children, trying to make ends meet. Of course, they lost their employment. They don't have a job. And now they're going to be cut off from any kind of funding from FEMA. By the way, those trailers, you know how much those trailers cost our government, us, our taxpayers? $60,000 apiece. I don't know if you've seen the trailers.
They look nice.
Yeah, if you like living in an 18-foot box.
Yeah.
But for $60,000, you can get you a 4-bedroom nice trailer and some property, probably. So I don't know who negotiated that contract, but I think the citizens would have been served much better had they just been given even half the money, $30,000. They could have bought a $20,000 trailer and kept it.
Yeah.
But this way, they've got a $60,000 trailer for 18 months. But that's just part of the fiasco. You know, during emergencies like that, you're supposed to be able to get a low-interest loan through the SBA. Well, my father applied for a loan, and because his credit's good, he was told he couldn't have one. Now, if you have bad credit, semi-bad credit,
yeah,
where a bank won't take you, the SBA will. If it's really, really bad, though, the SBA won't take you. So what they do is they give you a grant, free money, instead.
Well, that way they know up front they're not going to get the money back.
Exactly. So the moral of the story is don't have good credit if you have a disaster.
I'm ready then. My credit report, my credit history is, you know, circling the bowl. It's a couple of long stretches of unemployment will do that.
Yes, it will. And even if you do think you have good credit, it only takes a couple of people to make a phone call or write a letter, because they'll put anything on your credit. All they have to do is receive a letter. They don't have to prove a judgment or anything. It's kind of that's the next Bastille to conquer is the credit agencies. Ho-ho. And we're all in this mess because our dear president, and every president, by the way, has the authority to appoint over 3,000 individuals, his buddies. He can pick them. They don't have to have any kind of experience, or they don't even have to show a resume to head up our government and those 3,000-plus institutions within our government, FEMA being one of them. And, of course, they know they're only going to be there the term that the president is in, because once any president gets in, he gets to appoint another 3,000-plus people. Therefore, they don't have a lot of incentive to make any changes or re-engineer the business processes of our government that have driven up the cost in our taxes for nothing. It's a wasteful, wasteful thing we're doing to our country.
And considering the fact that the person who was put in charge of FEMA, even if they looked at his resume, I think he was president of the North American Equestrian Association?
Yes. Yep. Really, they don't even have to show their resume. Bush just goes, hey, Johnny, you take this one. Billy, Bob, you take this one over here. And Mary Jo, you can have that one. It has nothing to do with their qualifications. It only has to do with how much they contributed to his campaign. It's a shame. All that should be definitely taken care of. And they should interview for that and have a panel with experience that knows what the job entails. Interview it for, just like we do in private business. Be competitive. May the best person take the job, the one that's most qualified. Maybe then we wouldn't have like a mess like we did with FEMA. Imagine all the other departments that are just as screwed up as FEMA is. We just haven't been exposed to that yet. But God forbid if we have another terrorist attack and we have to rely on our Homeland Security. Who knows what's going to happen? We saw what happened, us trying to get out of Houston for a hurricane. More people died on the road than a hurricane. Imagine if there was a panic and there was a terrorist attack.
Yeah, and I'm surprised I haven't heard them talk about re-engineering the freeways here in Houston because of Rita.
Yeah, well, it took them almost a half a day to figure out, hey, wait, maybe we should turn I-45 northbound on all lanes. Duh.
Yeah.
You know?
But the bad part is because of the way we've built our high-occupancy vehicle lanes, the HOV lanes in there, they couldn't do counterflow until you got past that, which is you were still stuck from downtown all the way up north until just about the Woodlands.
Yep.
Before they could do the counterflow because they couldn't go through those two concrete lanes.
Exactly.
To get people out of here.
Yep.
I live off of US 290, and I sat there and watched the how packed it was. In fact, I went to work like the day before. I was working up at Greens Point.
Wow.
And I'm used to traffic being a nightmare in the morning going 290 in towards town, and it was a breeze. It was going out of town that it was packed solid, and people were just getting out of their cars because there was nowhere to go.
Yep. My parents, bless their hearts, they lost their house in Katrina and came to stay with me. Well, I was in Miami on business when the hurricane was coming, and I was flying home, but I called them and said, hey, look, don't wait for me. Y'all go ahead and get in the car because traffic's going to be bad, and head to my sister's house, which is 3.5 hours north of here in Manning, Louisiana. So they took off. I said, I'll meet y'all the next day after I board up the house. Well, of course, that didn't happen. I couldn't get out. But it took them 9.5 hours to go on a 3.5 hour drive. It's a wonder
they
more people
lucky.
Didn't have car trouble sitting and overheating like that or running out of gas.
I was on the road for 13.5 hours.
Where did you go?
To go to a place that generally takes 2 hours to get to.
Lordy.
A little place called Hilltop Lakes.
My goodness.
Which is near towns like Norman G. And it's the middle of nowhere, or at least slightly south of the middle of nowhere. And 13.5 hours. I am never doing that again.
Unbelievable.
I don't care if it's a class. I don't care if they add numbers to the classification system and a class 10 is coming through you soon.
They could tell us that Hurricane Saddam was coming and he's bringing weapons of mass destruction.
You'd probably be safer in your attic.
I'm not doing that again. Because only after we got since you mentioned the counterflow thing, whatever. Yes, once they did that, we were there in a matter of, a half an hour.
See, I was the crazy one. When Hurricane Rita hit, I actually came in town.
Oh, yeah? Me too, from Miami.
I was in here early because Jimmy and I were on the air when Rita was supposed to hit. We were sitting. We were gearing up. We were expecting.
Now that's dedication.
I should have stayed here.
We were expecting a hurricane party. I was over at Jimmy's getting ready, and we're watching the news and go, "It's coming! It's coming!" And we flipped over to West Side Story.
Please, we barely got a good stiff blow.
We flipped back to the weathercast, and there was Frank Billingsley going, I told you it wasn't going to hit. And so Jimmy and I came here, and we did 8 hours.
Wow.
Because the shows after us, they were in evacuation zones.
Yep.
So they were out of here. So we did 8 hours, and we called it the Stiff Breeze Party.
Hmm. Had a lot to talk about, huh?
Oh, we played a lot of music. We went through and, you know, those people who were tuning in for Zydeco afterwards, you know.
That's probably played stuff that hadn't
that's
been
good stuff, Zydeco.
Well,
yeah.
You know, they tuned in for Zydeco. They didn't know it, but they were getting queer music.
Oh, really? Zydeco, gay music?
No, it wasn't Zydeco. We were playing our own music.
Oh.
But the show's after us is Zydeco. So if they would have tuned in for it, you know, we were playing our stuff that we had. So, you know, it was something different.
Definitely. And I got to tell you, you're brave sitting next to that big plate glass window there right out of Hurricane.
Oh, yeah, the one that's supposedly soundproof that I can hear someone yelling outside.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yep, yep.
Well, I went to Home Depot, spent about $250 on what was left to board up my house. Spent a day boarding it up, and it didn't even rain. I was so freaked out about what happened to my parents a week before that I wasn't taking any chances. But fortunately, it didn't come here.
They haven't taken their tape down.
I'm telling you, what we need to be afraid of here is the flood, as most people were damaged more so by the floods than the winds, even though... even in a Category 5 like Camille was, it was the water that's the killer.
And we learned that several years ago with a tropical storm.
Yep.
Allison.
That's right, when the freeways were rivers.
Yeah, I still remember that. That's one of those things you go, this is unreal.
Yep. And I've got pictures from that, from the front page. It was unbelievable. And all you people out there, let me tell you, put an axe or a hatchet in your attic. You know, I grew up in Gulfport, Mississippi, so everybody had an axe or a hatchet in their attic. We knew what was coming. But here, you should do it, too, because it floods.
Yeah, when my friend was trying to find out about his family, and, you know, I'm doing all these searches on the Internet trying to find, you know, what happened to Burris, because the last thing we heard was it was ground zero one
right
for the hurricane. And one of the preparation kits I was looking at, they were talking about, and they said, you know, take a hatchet with you to your attic. And I'm going, what the hell? And he said, that's what you do over there, because
that's right. If the water keeps coming, you got to be able to get out. And let me tell you, it's tough punching through that stuff. You got to have something to break through it. And not only that, let me tell you how prepared I was. I had 3 safe places in my house. It was me and my 2 cats. I had my cat carrier with floaties around it. It floated anyhow, but I want to make sure that they stayed afloat, because I don't think cats can swim. I don't know. I've never tested my cats if they can swim, but just in case, I had floaties all around their cat carrier, which was in a center closet in my home. You know, no windows. It was in the center of the house. And in there, I had a gallon of Ozarka water and some snacks and some kitty treats and a radio and a flashlight. And that was number 1 safe house, okay? Now, if the water came in, it was on the ground floor, I had to have plan B, which was up in the attic. And up in the attic, I had the same kind of stuff. A couple of bottles of Ozarka water, some snacks, and some kitty treats. And then I thought, worst comes, if it comes really bad and I've got to get out of Dodge, I packed up my SUV, which was in the garage, with the same thing, some water. And actually, I had a can of gasoline, too.
You actually found water?
Well, I drink water a lot, and I had a bunch of water at my house already, and I filled up a bunch of water jugs, too, prepared for, you know, the worst, thinking I was going to be without water, you know, 4 or 5 days minimum.
I went out and was looking. I suddenly realized that all the phones we had in our house are cordless. So when you lose power, you lose
right.
phone. So I ran out to the drugstore to find a old-fashioned, you know, cheap $5 phone. And I was also supposed to look for water. Couldn't find any. But they had a sale at the one store of 3-liter bottles of grape soda. And I came back, and my sister-in-law looked at me like, I hope you like grape soda, because I ain't drinking any of that. And I go, it ain't for that. I look at this as a 50-cent, 3-liter water bottle.
Yep.
That we could fill up at the tap.
That's right.
You know, it was like 50 cents a bottle. I bought six or eight of them.
Yep.
And it was the cheapest thing, store water, and seal it up tight.
Yep. I had cans of food and my Sterno Coleman stove up in the attic, too, in case I had to camp out there for several days. Me and my kitties would at least, we wouldn't have been hungry.
Yeah.
And I told my parents that I was wearing a red shirt. So look on TV for a girl in a red shirt with two cats floating down the river.
And while we cannot blame the storms on our Congress, we can certainly blame everything that happened, a large part of what happened afterwards, on them.
Absolutely we can. And it's back to giving the president the power to appoint whomever. Just recently, when, and he's normally the Senate has to approve, you know, who he appoints. And it's just like a flag waving, yeah, because that's the way it is. He has authority to do it, unless you can say one reason why they can't or shouldn't be there. And yeah. They never have enough time to, you know, research why they shouldn't be there. So even then, the last thing our dear George did, January 5th, he appointed Tracy Hinkie to the top Homeland Security job. Among 17 other appointments he did, when the Senate was not even in session, they were highly offended, to say the least, but nobody was even there to veto it. Mm-hmm. And he's got the power to do that.
Yeah, that's part of a common practice that, you know, even Clinton did, Reagan did it too, that, you know, if he wants to get, if, you know, the Senate is dragging their feet on the quote-unquote advise and consent, they can do that. That's what he did to get, was it James Bolton as U.S. ambassador to the United Nations? Is since the Senate wasn't going to be able to do it, he just waited until they were not in session and appointed them. But it's a temporary position when he does the appointment.
Yeah.
It expires the next time the new Congress meets in session, if I remember correctly.
Right, right, yeah. So. And because he's had two terms, he's got to do it twice. So all the friends he missed on the first round, he got on the second round. Didn't know he had that many friends. It's amazing. But, you know, Tracy Hinkie, she has absolutely no experience at all. Her previous job, she did some racial profiling study for the Justice Department, and now she's heading up.
For or against racial profiling?
Well, it just says racial. She just did racial profiling study now. I don't know where she was for or against.
It is Republican side, so,
that's,
you know,
true. That's
we'll
true.
Assume
yeah.
the four.
Yeah. It's scary, folks. So, you know, in the hurricane, you're going to put a hatchet in your attic. And I guess in a terrorist attack, load your shotgun and take it with you. I'm telling you. Oh, scary. Scary, scary. You know, the last, when 9/11 hit, I stayed up that entire night and wrote a survival kit list of things that you should take and have prepared at all times in case something happens. I still have my kit. It's in the garage. I know right where it is. But you'll never guess what the first thing was on my kit list.
Duct tape.
You guessed it. It was. Even before matches, duct tape.
It was duct tape.
It has to be. I mean, you can do anything. You can take prisoners with duct tape. You can build shelter with duct tape. You can trap animals with duct tape.
I swear, 9/11 was a conspiracy of duct tape manufacturers. That was the first thing they said. You know, get duct tape and get plastic sheeting in case you have to.
That's right. Had that in my kit. I even had camouflage duct tape.
Duct tape is the force.
Absolutely it is.
It has a light and a dark side, and it binds everything together.
Very good. The force. The camouflage duct tape.
Conventions, what can I say?
Hope my duct tape doesn't dry out. It's in the garage in a box. Along with my seeds, because I was going to start a crop if I had to. I even had camouflage paint to spray paint my sport utility vehicle so nobody could find me in the woods. It's a four-wheel drive. And, of course, my kitty carrier. I was ready.
It sounds refreshing.
All right, folks. What's on your mind tonight? Why don't you give us a call? We need some call-ins.
Actually, we can't.
We can't?
It's
what?
The pledge drive. All the phones are out there.
Well, then give us your money.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, Jimmy wanted to just pipe in, so I'm supposed to actually put him on mic in the lobby. Jimmy, you're out there?
I am out here.
How we doing out there?
It's very, very quiet. The phones haven't rung at all.
Come on, people. You can't be sleeping.
No, no. Are you kidding? Listening to you talking about our lovely president?
rant.
That's the most generous thing I've ever heard about that man.
Me too.
Maybe they've forgotten the number.
What is the number? Let's say that number noise? Again. What is that beeping I hear?
It's feedback.
713-526-KPFT.
That's right, 713-526-5738.
Must be the listening device they've implanted in our system.
Well, I'm standing next to the one speaker out there, so that's kind of echoing.
Come on, guys, support our community.
We've got several people sitting by waiting to answer the phones.
I know, and they volunteered their hearts out,
yep,
thinking y'all were going to call.
I know.
Where are you?
We have a substantial goal tonight, and we're only partially there. We need probably about $300, at least. At least.
Come on, that's only $10 for 30 of you out there.
There you go.
That's two martinis. Two Cosmos.
Okay, $5 for you 60 out there.
We need 60 queens to give up a Cosmo for us.
That's right. If you make your own Cosmos, they're a lot less expensive.
Yes, yeah, see?
Speaking of supporting our community, Friends of Pride, those of you that haven't heard of that organization, are supporting the Pride Houston Pride 2006 committee to put on our great annual parade, which is going to be June 24th. Friends of Pride provide the financial support for Pride Houston, and they're having a great sing-along show tunes at Nympha's on Post Oak, February 26th. Should be a lot of fun. Tickets are only $35, and they're tax-deductible. But you better sign up quick, because seating is limited to 175, and because they want to keep it down to 175 so we can all sing the show tunes. So,
singing show tunes at a Mexican restaurant.
Hello.
They're also going to have a golf tournament. That should be fun. You can sponsor a hole.
I'm not on anymore.
Yeah, I have you on again, Jimmy.
Oh, okay, good. Because you said that magic number, the $35, that is the basic membership for belonging to KPFT.
That's and with all that, $35.
That's it. You become a voting member. You get to vote on who sits on the board.
Yeah, see, we don't believe in those kind of political appointments when no one's around.
No,
that's right. They mail you your voting thing. I've got one in the mail.
We're
very democratic.
The only democratically run radio station in the world.
Wow.
That's it. Because members in good standing, that's folks who donate $35 at least once a year.
Or if you're a student or senior citizen, I think it's $25.
Something like that. And you get to vote on who runs this station.
Hey, and you get one of those bumper stickers, too. You know, they're just the right size that'll cover over most of those W stickers that you foolishly put on your car when you thought he was going to do something.
Or that used car
you
bought.
I've seen a lot of those bumper stickers, so I know there's supporters out there.
Yeah. So it's 713-526-5738. Or, you know, if you're one of those old-fashioned people and you're using dial-up internet and you're listening and you're surfing online with, you know, one mouse click, it may confuse your system a little bit going off of those other websites, but click over to kpft.org. You can just plug that in there and make your donation on plastic.
And speaking of plastic, don't forget that for $50 on plastic, you can get...
silicone.
What? No, you can get a copy of Transamerica, the CD. That goes to the movie.
I guess I should be careful about saying about giving away silicone there. We're talking about a movie called Transamerica.
Yeah, I know. Yes, you should.
I don't know which silicone is more unhealthy, the credit card or the other.
Yeah.
But this, we got a lot of great music, especially those you like the older music.
Yeah, there's a Bonnie Raitt tune. There's a Dolly Parton tune.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band is in there.
Hey.
So for those of you who, you know, remember when instead of silicone you played vinyl, Whoa. There's some songs in there for you.
Whoa.
Okay, Chris,
I still have some vinyl. I wish I had a turntable.
You just made me feel really old when you used the phrase old-fashioned people and still managed to put a modern reference to computers in the same sentence.
Oops.
Scary. It's very scary.
Because, you know, I'm old enough to remember when some of our computers still filled. What can fit on a laptop today fit in a room.
Hey, Bill Gates.
I was a child.
Yeah. Bill Gates said, "You know, you don't need a computer with more power than a calculator has today."
Yeah. Lordy,
that was right after drunk driving arrest. So who knows what he was doing?
Yeah.
But this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener sponsored, commercial free, listener sponsored, commercial free.
That's you guys.
KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
That's right, KPFT Houston.
Keep playing fag tunes.
There you go.
The reason why I emphasize the listener-sponsored commercial-free is, you know, if you turn your dial to the right tomorrow night, you'll hear Queer Radio. Not a lot of attitude.
Oh, yeah. No attitude at all, actually. And a little light on the queer.
Yeah. We're light in the loafers, not light on the queer here.
Queer light. Is that like beer light?
We're locally produced.
Yes.
You know, we're actually sitting here. If you drive by, love it. Please drive by with your windows up, because if your windows are down and something sticks out, we're going to duck under the covers. If you drive down, love it here. You know, this used to be Radio Road.
Yeah.
But they
I didn't know that.
This used to be the Radio Road in Houston, but see, they've all been assimilated.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
They've all gone to the dark side.
That's right. 101 was the
townhouses.
101 was the last one to go.
Yeah, there was, what was the other one across the street?
Yeah, 101 and 740.
Yeah, but before 101, wasn't it KP? No, what was it?
KPRC was there at one point. KTRH
was there. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. They've all been assimilated. Now they're all in some giant tower over in the Galleria, so they can look superior over everybody there in the rich neighborhood.
They have commercials.
And then, and the programming comes through on a satellite, because it's the same programming for all the other cities in the United States.
Syndicated.
Yes.
Yeah. They have a host sitting in Atlanta, and they got a reality star sitting up, former reality star sitting up in New York City, and another person sitting over in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. That's what,
and they'll sit there, and if you want, they'll play you Eminem.
Ooh.
How queer-friendly can that be?
Oh, right.
Did they ever talk about anything interesting?
Actually, they do have a little, they have kind of like, send in, you know, call in with your boyfriend or girlfriend problems.
Oh.
A love line.
Some sort of love line thing.
Yeah.
But that's about as queer as it gets.
I've always thought.
So gay people have actually called in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the gay part.
But see, all that's piped in. You're not going to, you know.
Now, they do play Melissa Etheridge and Elton John.
Ooh.
Go out on a limb there.
How gay is that?
But, you know, the fact is, you know, you're not going to hear, on that station, you're not going to hear them talk anything about, you know, the type of topics we've got on this show tonight.
Like same-sex marriage?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, on February 17th, same-sex couples will ask the Harris County clerk for a marriage license. There's like 30 couples showing up February 18th.
Yeah, I haven't walked. They've been doing that a couple of years now.
So any of you out there, you and your loved one, want to tie the knot? This is the time to do it, February 17th.
And then when they don't give it to you that night, the next day we'll have a ceremony and give your own certificate.
That's right.
Because another thing is this. I'm going to scare Jimmy here.
What?
I'm going to be talking a little later. I may even do it during Diane's show. I don't know here. I'm going to talk. We have a little commentary about terrorism.
Let's talk about it.
Ooh.
Let's talk about it.
If these phones don't start ringing, I'm liable to do a little terrorism myself.
I was thinking about this. There's a couple of stories that have come out. You know, right now, that's the big word. Everyone's talking terrorism. You know, that's why we have to eavesdrop on everybody and protect the Liberty Tower, which is actually called the Library Tower, but now it's U.S. Bank Building. So what if he was a little off? You know, some of the letters were there.
Some of them.
You know, if the Office of
Homeland Security... He meant to say
Security,
Lying Tower.
If the Office of Homeland Security is there to make us feel safer, how come I don't feel safer?
Well,
and you know, in the long run, I think it's our government that has done the job of making us feel afraid of the rest of the world out there.
Well, when you have someone, Tracy Hinkie, that has no experience heading up the whole Homeland Security, you should be scared.
You know, somehow I'm just not afraid.
But here's where I was going with this. Two little stories I want to point out to you. Got this email from a friend over at Outsmart Magazine, Tim. And the title of it is, Threats Won't Keep Local Gay Radio Show Off the Air. Threatening letters have been sent via email to the Edge Radio Show earlier this week are being taken seriously. However, Edge Radio Show host and executive producer Chad Larson says the show will go on. While the letters didn't specify a specific threat, the letters did claim that members of one church organization have, quote, removed homosexuals from places before, unquote. I'm sorry. If Mr. Larson won't go quietly, we are ready for a fight, unquote. The email did not specify what church the writer claimed to be from. In addition, the letter claimed, the penalty for homosexuality is death. Humans are not allowed to kill. That is why God sent AIDS. When Chad Larson is lying in his deathbed from this incurable illness, he will wish he had turned to us for help. Unquote. Chad Larson responded to the threats in an email to the sender. I will not go off the air simply because someone does not like its content. This is America, and in this country we have the right to listen to a radio program or turn it off. If you want to fight to remove me, I'm looking forward to it. I will not back down. The Edge Radio Show, it's a local show that airs on Freeform Radio. It's an independent production and shares no views with the radio with the station that's broadcast on. You can check them out at edgeshow.com. I sent him an email, Chad.
Good for you.
And I told him, I said, you know, we've got people here in Houston that are supporting you, specifically this show, because this guy's, even though it may not be working, the people who sent this letter are terrorists.
Yes, they are.
The definition of a terrorist isn't, you know, contrary to what the administration wants you to think, the definition of terrorist does not mean Muslim.
No, it does not.
The definition of terrorist is someone who wants to strike terror and fear into another person. And these people here are threatening to, basically, the text they're saying is, when he's on the air, they're talking about coming down there and pulling him physically off the air.
That's terrorism.
It just stuns me when a church, when anybody claiming to be a religious organization, a church, anything done in the name of God...
Right.
Who they define as love, and they want to commit acts of violence.
I know. How dare they talk about my God that way? That really makes me mad.
The mother of all gall.
You're talking about the same church and faith base that, you know, spawned the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition,
the Salem witch hunts.
Yeah. Now. One of the things I also told him, I said, I certainly hope that the authorities are taking this threat seriously.
Well, no, they're not. It's very easy to trace back an email, and obviously they have not done that.
So let me get the right password typed in. I should be used to typing with one hand, but not that hand. Still can't get it right.
These guys are cowards. They didn't tell you whose church or what their name was or anything.
Well, it could be something that, you know, he's keeping... He's not boring. This was an email that went out to probably at least 50 news outlets across the country. And Tim forwarded this over to us. But Chad replied back to me, thank you so much for the note of support. It's great that there are other programs out there reaching out to our community. The authorities are not taking it seriously, as our station is. The station has stepped up security on his show days and are providing an escort to and from the station.
So, well, that's good.
the station is having to step up and take care of this situation because of these terrorists.
Now, if the content of that program would not have been gay, do you think they would have taken it more seriously?
It's hard to say. Because we're also, you know, I looked at the website, and from what I'm seeing there, it's kind of like what we do.
Uh-huh.
You know, basically, it's a group of guys that go in and, you know, they just talk about events and the community and all that. So, you know, it's easy. It's easy to piss somebody off that way.
Yeah.
It's really easy. You know, so it could be a queer conduct. It could be a bunch. It could be the fact that these people are old farts, and this guy is a young. He's 22.
Right.
Chad Larson. He's cute too. I gotta find one of you.
Of course you'd not.
Yes.
The guy that sent the threat could have been a teenager too.
Yeah, but the fact is, you know, this is one act that we're seeing, you know, of terrorism against our community. Here's another one I want to talk about. Lately, you know, I've heard several states are working on a ban on protests at funerals. And I figure it may be a national one. And the reason is because of this little church known as Westboro Baptist Church is going around and protesting the funerals of servicemen and women who are killed in Iraq.
I think I heard about that. They were at King's funeral recently,
yeah.
Right?
Now, the reason is this. By the way, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term Westboro Baptist Church, the founder and pastor of Westboro Baptist Church is Fred Phelps.
I've seen him many times on the March on Washington.
So,
that guy is a sickie.
But see, here's the thing.
That man is twisted.
He's going out and he's protesting because several years ago, what he's protesting is the fact these servicemen and women are being killed by IEDs, improvised explosionary devices. Several years ago, we would have called it a pipe bomb,
yeah,
or a Molotov cocktail. So now they've come up with this cutesy term for, you know, amateur bomb making.
Because, you know, they have to make it all official now.
Yeah, yeah. So...
at least they didn't call it an IUD.
That was, well, no, because that would have been less effective. but the fact is, supposedly, you know, 10, 15 years ago, somebody threw a pipe bomb on his property, and he didn't think the authorities took it seriously.
Somebody threw it at Phelps' property.
Threw it at Phelps' property. Boom. Nothing really happened. But he's now... because of this, you know, he's thinking, you know, these IEDs that are killing people in Iraq, it's part of God's work. Smiting, you know, because God's up there just trying to bitch slap America as much as he can.
Yeah.
So he's going to protest at these servicemen and women's funerals, you know, because, you know, the IEDs are killing them because, you know, America allows this and blah, 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 blah. And so all of these legislatures, and I think, like I said, the National Congress, are, you know, we can't let our fallen servicemen and women, their families, be treated like this. So, I'm going to sound like I'm straddling the fence here, but, you know, they were going to restrict his free speech to protest because he's daring to protest against a serviceman or woman who was killed in Iraq, who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that hopefully one day we will have gasoline for $1 a gallon again.
Yep.
But where in the hell were these people for the past 10, 15 years when Fred Phelps stood out in front of funerals for gay and bisexual and lesbian and transgendered people who had died of AIDS, and he's using almost the same signs, you know?
Almost the very same signs.
He uses a lot of, he can carry some of the signs over, but, you know, that's freedom of speech. We can't restrict that then.
Exactly.
Mm. Where the hell were they? You know, and I saw a thing on one of the things where, you know, basically it was a biker gang who, in this one town where there's a large military base, they've taken to help escort the funeral processions for the fallen servicemen. And they actually have gone to the part of bringing large tarps
to spread out so the family won't have to see the Phelps protesters. And I'm sitting there going, that sounds like the Angels of Laramie. You know, a little more biker chic, not queer chic.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that Fred Phelps is out there shouting these things, you know, that's an act of terrorism. He's trying to intimidate people. Look at me, don't.
He is the Antichrist.
And, you know, so here's two instances we're talking about, you know, terrorism going on in our society. And no one's, you know, the powers that be aren't looking at the whole picture. You know, we've got some guy out there who's, you know, a two-hour radio show outside of Washington, D.C. and has to worry about people coming and physically pulling him out of his chair.
Yep. And I'm sure he's worried a lot about a lot more after that. Somebody waiting outside for him when he gets off the air or hunting him down.
That escort.
Stalking him.
Yeah, I mean, that escort only leads him to his car. Mm-hmm. What about when he gets home?
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, we've got to deal with, you know, these idiots who are going to go out and protest. But, of course, you know, they're free to protest as long as it's a gay person who's there.
Exactly.
As long as, you know, the stamp says AIDS, sure, go ahead. You know, yell and scream, you know, tell everyone that person's not worth anything.
Yeah. Hmm.
But, you know, because someone who joined the military, went off and served our country, for all the wrong reasons, as we've learned now. I mean, yes, they are due respect because of the person who has passed away does deserve the respect of not having someone saying, you deserved it!
Yeah, especially their families. How cruel can someone be?
Yeah. But of course, you know, so they're finally taking care of that, but you know, what about the families that were there for 10, 15 years?
I know. It's sad. Yeah. You know, the scary thing is, a guy like Phelps, you know, one day that guy's going to lose it and could do some serious damage. And then what? They're going to, all these years they watched him build up to it and have done nothing.
Yeah.
Until he goes off the deep end, or the deeper end, and takes some lives. It's very, very scary. I can't believe the guy actually has members in his church.
They're all family members.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
What is terrifying to me...
I wonder if that's genetic.
It's terrifying to me that, you know... I love our freedom of speech, but the minute it became... The minute we started saying that, you know, this war is wrong, and the minute we started saying that this war was wrong, all of a sudden it was unpatriotic, and the minute we had 9/11, you know, it was 24 hours before the likes of Jerry Falwell were saying that. That it was the queers and the abortionists and
women livers
and the pagans.
Yeah.
And, well, as someone who is both queer and pagan, let me tell you, in our belief system, we believe in "and it harm none, do what you will." We do not believe in causing harm. And
that's right.
And
what goes around comes around.
And it seems to be an awful lot of people who identify as Christian who want to do the most violent attacking of people and who we are and what we are as a country. I mean, I am no more afraid today of getting blown up than I was the day after 9/11.
Yeah.
I have become more afraid of is my government. Mm. You know?
And I'll tell you this.
I love my country. It's my government I'm starting to fear.
And you
know,
should.
And when it comes to this community, you know, I'm not worried that much about someone from the Middle East coming over here to do me harm. I'm worried about some jackass from the east side of Houston or the southeast side coming up here in his Ford dually pickup truck with a 2x4 in the back.
Yep. just like mm-hmm. they did over at Heaven.
And if we're lucky, all it is a 2x4.
Yeah.
Because or the lead pipe they got the guy 2 years there.
Is that plate glass window bulletproof?
You can hope.
Honey, I'm big enough a target, you know. I could care to less.
But you know, freedom of speech is really has to be across the board. It absolutely has to be. Simply because who says what? I mean, in terms of who. I mean, if you start saying this one can say, but that one can't say, no matter how you cut it, you have the danger of whoever's in power yeah. starts curtailing, and if it happens to be your group that gets curtailed, well, of course you're going to be upset. So it has to be across the board. It's complicated. It's difficult. You know, having a civilization, having a relationship, being a decent person is not easy. It's complicated. It's not black and white. And you don't get there by forbidding curtailing any freedom of speech.
No, I agree. You know, I may have people want to come and drag me out of this thing or saying, here, you know, I agree with Fred Phelps's right to stand on the street corner and yell whatever he says. He can sit there and he can put up any sign Absolutely. He wants. I, you know, yeah. those he five people who come with those, ugly little pictogram signs that stand out at the end of the bend there at during the Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respect their right to stand there and say that. Because, very simply, I'm not going to sit here and say they don't have the right to say that, but I have the right to sit here and talk on this radio show.
Absolutely.
I believe in the freedom of speech to that point, you know. And
but
you know,
freedom
like,
of speech only goes to a certain limit. Like if you're inciting a riot.
Yeah, freedom of speech ends. Your freedom of speech ends at the tip of my nose.
Yep.
That's the way it was always. I always heard was
you can't yell fire in a crowded theater because
unless there really is a fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you know, if you're going to stand on the street corner and yell fire and brimstone, by all means.
And
I'll build you the soap.
Unless it incites a riot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should do.
That's all.
The sky. He said the sky's falling. He said the sky's falling.
But you know, I don't
have just as much right to say what they. Yeah. And that's fine, but we shouldn't. But the criticism from the people in power should not be one-sided. No. That only one side gets slammed for saying what we think.
I guess in a way, what I'm saying is, you know, for 10-15 years, you know, these state governments, and like I said, I think Congress is talking about it, but they talk about so many different things and do so little. is talking about wanting to curtail Fred Phelps' freedom of speech at a military funeral. But if he goes up and he shows up at the cemetery and goes, hey, I'm not protesting that soldier, I'm protesting that fag over there that died. Oh, that's okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's the part of what I get. There's the double standard that, you know, I don't... That's the part I don't like into that.
I know. They would tap our phones and listen into us before they would Fred Phelps.
And exactly. And also because the person that wants doesn't approve of the military funeral is probably the same kind of person who would really love to see the Bill of Rights cut into so they can start changing the Constitution and manipulating it to something that
the Bill of Rights died on September 12th.
Absolutely.
We have a Bill of Rights?
But you see what I mean? It's,
what is it?
I mean, it's more like using Fred Phelps as a wedge to get in and really start doing much more repressive
things. I'd like to use them as a wedge.
Yeah, and I think most of America thinks that Fred Phelps is a ridiculous.
Yes, most of America does. Really, fortunately, most of America does.
And most middle class people.
Yep.
I like, you know, every so once in a while, I'll actually go to his website.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm feeling particularly good about myself. when I'm just.
I hope you turned off your cookies before you went there.
When I'm swelling with gay pride, I decide, you know, I'll click over and take a look at it. And you know, one of these days, this guy's going to learn how to create an interest. I'm a graphic designer by trade. And when I see the PDF files of his Fax press new releases there. I'm like, my God, please, I will be willing to work with him just to create a nicer.
You know, he was the reason they changed the fax blast law. He used to fax everybody a bunch of obscenities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got all sorts of weird pictures.
You know, you'd think that with all the technology today, they could come up with better signs to protest with. I mean, those stick figures doing the horizontal lambada is just a little old school.
That's what you get when you don't have any gay people in your world.
There you go.
Yeah.
But then again, I remember back when we had the sodomy rally, when the day when the Supreme Court ruled 2106 to be illegal, mm-hmm. unconstitutional.
Right.
There was one guy who came down to protest, and I think a lot of us felt upset about that. There was only one protester.
Poor baby.
But he had a fabulous sign.
What is
it? It was just homosexuality, but I think he found sprinkles. I mean, he had glitter
sprinkles
on it. It's like
glitter.
It's like you have a fabulous sign.
Gotta coordinate your accessories.
I remember one time at a town hall meeting, Ray Hill said, we are at the station, we must not be doing things right, because no one's threatened to blow us up off the air yet in a long time.
The protesters that come to the parade and all of that, on some level, we need them there.
Oh, yeah.
They make us look better.
That's true.
One year, the group that I'm in threatened to do a slightly different version of an old children's rhyme that was going to go something to the effect of "Goddess bless the little children" as we were passing by the protesters. I'm
always too far back in the parade. I always miss the protesters.
I mean, usually,
although I've heard they've been awful cute.
The thing is that the protesters usually at some point clue in to the fact that even if we're queer, we still outnumber them at the parade.
Oh,
hundreds
yes.
Hundreds to one.
Oh, more than 100 to one.
Yeah,
1,000 to one.
100 to one. 1,000 to one.
Yeah.
And we will, and you know, contrary to some of their beliefs, some of us will hit back if they try it.
Oh, definitely.
You know, we actually could use a heckler tonight. We could use somebody calling in and say horrible things, because the other
night,
Stacey's show, whatever it is, I can't remember, they had a heckler call in, and people called in and started really pledging like crazy to answer to the heckler.
And normally I have a heckler.
Another reminder, we need
it's the first night I've been able to open up the phones.
Out there, and
is that a
you don't want to prove you're a real liberal, call in during this show. You know, even if you listen to a regular and pledge,
we have a pledge. Yeah, we have a pledge here. Thank Jim for his very generous pledge here to our show.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, this way, you may not, we know we've got a lot of straight listeners out there. You may not agree with anything we say. You may not agree with a tenth of what we say.
Freedom of speech.
I don't toe the party line for this radio station. I would be considered in certain aspects to be a little,
Very bad phone call.
What?
About Eastside gay people. We're getting phone calls about it.
That's nice.
Phone calls.
That's nice. Hey, we pissed somebody off. Thank you.
Hey!
I missed
it. Pledge to keep the air on the radio. Get this on the radio.
Alrighty. Okay, that's fine. We're talking about the show, I could care less if they... We've apparently offended people on the east side.
Uh-oh.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man. We're in trouble.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm not lumping everybody in. It's just, something about the east side of 45, either up in Aldine or down in Pasadena.
And it's not everybody. My
not
ex
everybody.
Was from Pasadena, okay? Lighten up.
So, the fact is that, totally great.
I was just thinking, I saw a bumper sticker that said, it's something like, if you're not incensed or something like that, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's all right to have a few people sometimes
get a little irate with us because we've said something. They have the right to do so.
At least we know somebody's listening.
Yeah.
That means we know you're paying attention.
Yeah, you know.
You know?
The fact is that... I still can't remember where I was going.
Well, I wish they would call back and let's talk about it. Maybe we could settle it up and, you know, make amends and see where they're coming from.
Well, like I said, we
can't.
We're dedicating to getting.
Oh, that's right.
Wedges.
We're trying to raise money.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we don't
can't do that whole connection.
Next
thing,
show, you can. Next time I come back next month, you can call back. I'll talk to you personally.
So, those of you who are on the East Side who are offended, write yourself a little note to call back next month.
And those in Pasadena, too. We love you.
Yeah.
After all, I've been to Stinkadina. It's a nice enough town.
Yes, it is.
And if you're offended by the person who was offended, call in and pledge support.
Yeah.
I went to a lovely gem and jewelry show there once.
Hey, let's do this. You know, if we can get some verified, you know, if we get some real numbers there on plastic, for those of you who are offended with what I said, call in your pledge of support, and if we get $100 worth of pledges in there, I'll suspend myself for 1 week.
Ooh. And he'll publicly apologize on the air.
Oh, yeah. I'll go.
And address.
What? That's nice. Who cares? I'm on the air. Shut up. God. You know.
Excuse me a minute.
You know what?
I'm surprised we're able to operate the telephone.
Well, they're probably working in the plants and on shift duty or something.
Yeah. You know, hey, shoot me an email. afterhours@KPFT. I shouldn't say shoot. Send me an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Yell at me that way. I don't mind that. Hey,
that's a thought. Can't get through the phones because we're pledging tonight, but you can get through the email.
Yeah, send me one. afterhours@kpft.org.
Or if you're shy, pledge on the email.
Yeah. Boo-hoo. You know, the fact is, you know, what we do here, there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of seriousness to it when we need to be. You know, as far as, you know, people upset with what I'm talking about. Okay, I've got 8 years of driving around this neighborhood trying to keep people safe. And I know the reports of where these kids are coming from that are doing this. You know, the Broussard 12 came from Aldine. You know, the people who were sitting there, yeah, they come from these areas. So, you know, if you're pissed off because you live on the east side of town, I'm sorry. If it makes you feel better, you know, instead of saying that you, all this type of stuff, we'll talk about the East End rapist, though.
Really?
I mean, you know, it's great to have civic pride or community pride, but get over it.
You know, and demographically speaking... And I know you're going to get offended by this. However, demographically speaking, the people in that area have a lower education level than the people in the inner city. Now, that's just statistics. Okay, I didn't make them up. Somebody else did. Yeah. Somebody else took the survey, not me. I don't know what the sampling was. But and most people that aren't educated don't know some of the issues that we're dealing with today.
And like I said, call in your pledge. If I get $100 worth of pledges, they're telling me to shut up. And once I confirm that the money actually works, you know, if it's a credit card, once I've sure it's clear, I'll suspend myself for a week.
In address.
It says. Is this one of the shut the hell up pledges? Oh, be there. We've got an actual pledge.
Oh, a real one.
Thank you, Cindy. Another generous pledge.
Thank you, Cindy, and thank you for listening to us. We certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we this is KPFT. You know, I'll put it this way. You know, we were talking about terrorism, and you know, terrorism's in the eye of the beholder. One country's terrorist, and another one's freedom fighter. And you know. When Washington looks at something like KPFT, you know, we're a little bit terrorist.
We could be perceived that way by a lot of people.
Yeah. It's subversive.
Yeah, subversive terror. Yeah, we're willing to stand up there. We're willing to say, hey, you know, the emperor's got no clothes, but Halliburton's willing to clothe him there for $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something the station does. I think the line that Amy Goodman uses, that we speak truth to power, is a pretty good idea of what the station does. And with what we do on this show, you know, we try and give you something local in the community. And, you know, we told you about some of the events that are going on. You're not going to hear that elsewhere.
No, you're not. And not only that, you know, I'm a volunteer. Nobody's paying me to sit here, okay? I'd rather be in bed. But I'm not, because I feel it's a civic duty to be here.
Yeah.
Just like those volunteers at Pride Houston. You know, these are all volunteers that work all year round putting together an event for our community. Now, you show up, most of us show up the day of the parade and enjoy the festivities that weekend, but a lot of work goes into that. And there's a lot of people.
One hell of an event, let me tell you.
Yes, it is. And, of course, Pride Houston's always looking for volunteers. You can go to pridehouston.org and sign up for something. Come to the next meeting.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, one thing about this station, too, is I listen to it, you know, different shows round the clock at different times, depending on when I'm awake and everything. And I hear things on other shows that I don't agree with and make me angry. And it's like this wonderful, huge, kind of loving, dysfunctional family. Because if you put everybody from all the shows in one room, there'd probably be incredible arguments about
Lord.
But there's something wonderful about that kind of diversity all in one station, that you know, plethora of opinions, and it still keeps afloat, it still works.
I don't know how many dirty looks.
Out, he's breaking out the big words. I mean, plethora.
Plethora.
I couldn't think of another one.
That's what makes the world go round.
Let's put it this way.
So, I mean, support that kind of anarchy that's cohesive. Anarchy that
anarchy
just
can be
stays
fun.
Fluid, you know?
You don't know how much anarchy you can get just coming in here with Jack-in-the-Box hamburgers.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, if we were all the same, we'd have no reason to talk.
And in fact, absolutely. I used to listen to this show and go, well, why isn't somebody saying this? Why isn't somebody? So I'm here now, yeah. And I figured out finally that I had to come down and say it if it was going to get said. Yeah. So
I mean,
here
I am. So, let's see. To steal from another person, as I do often, I remember seeing a movie where everybody thought alike, and dressed alike, and spoke alike. I didn't really understand it, though, because it was a film from the 1930s set in Germany.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the sort of thing we get it that, you know, this station isn't about, you know.
You know, you had me for a movie like 1984 right up until you said 1930s Germany.
And that's the sort of, you know, that's the one thing about this station, you know. You look at some of the programming we put on the station, it's like, what mad scientist put this together?
You know,
who would take a show about Israel and put it next to the show of Palestine? They did that once. That was not a good program. No. There was no good segue for that one.
You know, but when I was a kid, I have to say this, that when I was a kid, when I was in high school and stuff, there, you know, you're supposed, for certain classes, you have to read certain books and do that. And I remember, to this day, the book that terrified me most was Brave New World.
Really?
Because all of the people in the story are people who are genetically made to do exactly the same. Everybody who looked like them was genetically made to do exactly the same job all the time, every time, and do it perfectly that way. No breaking outside of the box, no outside, you know, influence, no creativity,
exactly.
no nothing. And here on this station, we break out of that, of a world that seems to be bent on inventing that world, because we are creative and we do have differing opinions and we don't all have to like each other
to the extent of, you know, inviting everybody over to dinner every Saturday night, but we respect everybody's opinion because they have the right to say what they have to say.
We do have a Roy exception.
We do have a Roy exception. You know, Doc Faggot does have his...
Also, you got to look at the fact of this show. We've said it before. We've said it several times. Yeah. When you look out there, you know, how our community is portrayed of queer as folk and Will and Grace, you know, there ain't none of us on this show, except maybe when we bring in the hatchlings, a couple of them, and Travis. You know, we wouldn't have been in the background of queer as folk.
No.
Yeah.
And unlike Will and Grace, some of us actually have a sex life. Yeah. We put the sex back in homosexual.
Yeah.
Those are all straight people, though. I think there's only one gay guy on that show, right?
Unofficially.
Jack? Just Jack.
He won't come out.
He doesn't have to. Although, just Jack.
Okay.
Although that one
Liberace, but that doesn't mean much.
But the writers are gay of that show. I've met the writers at an HRC dinner in Washington. They're quite funny.
I still remember the one movie that Stephen Hayes did. Sean Hayes. It was back when he was Sean P. Hayes. Billy's Hollywood Screen Kiss.
I saw that.
Yes,
there
I
is
too.
One
such a cute
scene
movie.
In
that
there.
That is a cute movie.
That, you know, after I saw it, I came on the air. Part of the review I gave of that movie was there was this one part in that movie that was hotter than some of the $50 videos I bought from Lobo. I mean, hello. It was erotic. And it was like, you know, I'm sitting there watching, and I'm watching, seeing a lot of guys, and they're kind of squirming in their seats, like, you know, my pants are a little too tight now.
That was a straight guy doing that.
I mean, it was.
that was a good show. They got it on rental at Blockbuster. Yeah,
but he still says he's.
Right.
He says he's straight.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
He won't answer.
I plead a fifth of vodka.
Well, the season's almost over. He knows another job.
Maybe a fifth of the series is over.
And his publicist probably advised him, if you ever want another role and not want to be typecasted, then you better
perhaps
just...
you should stop playing homosexuals.
Probably.
It's either come out of the closet or stop playing homosexuals. One of the two.
I almost forgot about
Brad
this.
They've been having all this gossip about Brad Pitt wants to get on the Brokeback Mountain action. He wants these five
yeah.
nine apartments.
He wants to play a gay character.
Well, you know,
probably because Angelina, you know, used a strap on and got him.
I'd top him.
Okay.
Anyhow.
But here's another thing.
Well, Angelina, her first role was a gay woman in that nut house.
Gia?
Was it? No. What was the name? She was in a girl's...
Girl Interrupted.
Girl Interrupted.
And then she played a...
Gia.
Yeah, she played a bisexual, the model Gia.
I went out with Gia. Can you believe that?
Oh, really?
I didn't even realize who she was. I met her when she was 2 weeks before she turned 18 in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And she told me she had just done a shoot for Vogue. Of course, I didn't believe her. I mean, she was cute, but I said, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, right, you did. But that was a long time ago. I had no idea it was the same woman until she had died, unfortunately.
I don't know if I covered this story before. But I know a while ago I promised we were going to do a show. We're going to do a recurring segment called Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage.
Ooh.
And I've got one here. I don't know if I covered it before.
Yeah, I think I've heard this story.
I haven't heard it.
So, Profiles in the Sanctity of Marriage.
You gotta love this.
A 23-year-old man was sentenced to more than a year in prison Tuesday on a sexual assault charge filed after he impregnated a teenager. Then married her last spring when she was 14. Judge Daniel Bryan sentenced Matthew Coso to 18 to 30 months in prison, saying probation wasn't an option because Coso continued to have sexual relations with his underage wife. Marriage is one of our most sacred institutions, Bryan said, and it appeared to be the answer in this case, but it cannot cover up a crime and it cannot make it go away. Coso and the girl legally married in Kansas in May after the teen's mother gave permission for them to get married. Kansas does not have a minimum age as long as there's parental or judicial consent. Nebraska requires those getting to be married to be at least 17. Crystal Coso, now 15, urged the judge to be lenient, saying she loved her husband and wanted her daughter, born August 24th, to have a chance to know him. If you send my husband to jail, you'll see my daughter here in 15 years. What, with her 40-year-old husband?
You know,
the couple cried together as Coso was sentenced. Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning made headlines when he charged Coso last summer. He said his office had an obligation to protect children in Nebraska, where state law prohibits people 19 or older from having sex with those under 16. Coso initially pled not guilty, but changed his plea in December without explaining. The case prompted Kansas officials to introduce a bill banning marriage for anyone under 15 and preserving the requirement of parental or judicial consent for those 16 or 17. So here is a 22-year-old who knocked up a 14-year-old girl, legally married.
Yeah. And you know, now, because he's in jail, who's supporting the child and the mother?
Yeah.
You know, I would love to call our laws on that particular subject archaic, except that in the olden days, if you weren't married before the age of 21, certainly 25, you were female, you were considered an old maid.
In some countries, it's still that way. 12 and 13 years old, they're being sold.
And now we consider it some horrible thing that, you know, oh my God, they're having sex at 14 and want to be married.
My mother was married at 17.
Yeah.
They've been married 57 years.
Hello.
But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. A 23-year-old who knocked up a 14-year-old, legally married, recognized, sanctioned. It's a beautiful thing. Two gay men, two women who've been together for 20 years, you know, who've been together as a couple longer than these two people were born, can't get together.
Nope.
That is your profile in the sanctity of
that
marriage.
That first couple that did the marriage, that the older lesbian couple, I dare people to tell me that two people who have been together longer than I've been alive, and I'm 37, do not have sanctity of marriage, do not have, you know, the right to be a couple in every sense of the word, including the legal rights. That just drives me insane.
Now, there's one cute thing I have to add to this. They have his picture up. I found this through the greatest news gathering source in the world, thedailyrotten.com, who linked me over to the worst news gathering source in the universe, foxnews.com.
Yeah.
They have a picture of Matthew Coso.
That's a news station?
And the interesting thing is the person who mentioned this to the Daily Rotten noticed what kind of tie he's wearing. A NASCAR tie. So this piece of white trash.
He probably wasn't from the east side, y'all.
Yeah. Well, they don't say what part of Falls City, Nebraska.
There you have it.
Probably the east side of the state. Went to court to get sent to prison because he knocked up a 13-year-old girl wearing a NASCAR tie. And I seem to remember George Bush telling people at a NASCAR rally, "You're my voting base."
Right.
Well, I don't understand it because, you know, when you're driving a Winnebago to going from Talladega to wherever else they're having a race there, you know, they probably don't have enough money there for Halliburton.
Oh, looky. We got another
We have another pledge.
All right.
There's a comment that comes with it or something.
All right. Y'all are coming through tonight.
Can we say anything that's in the car?
Scott, who is a virgin to the show, to pledging, this is his first time.
Yay!
And yay. Scott is pledging because he doesn't hear Big Roy in the background.
Thank you, Scott. We love you.
Crazy bird
have to.
How does he know about Big Roy?
No, no, he's virgin to pledging.
Oh,
he's
okay.
A virgin to pledging, okay. Not to listening.
All right.
We appreciate your pledge, Scott.
I know a lot of virgins, it sounds sort of suspicious.
Yeah.
On the pledging.
And it's so hard to get virgins these days, you know?
It is hard.
Don't you feel better and don't you feel more satisfied and released now that you're not a virgin?
Yeah.
So all you virgins out there, get liberated.
He's probably sitting back smoking a cigarette now.
There you go.
Oh, let's see. Where is
welcome to our show.
Trying to find something.
That's
got another.
A disturbing picture.
Both
of them, actually.
Well, that's the infamous... That's the infamous cartoon that you've been hearing all over the news.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
God, what am I pushing that keeps making Fox News come back? Go away!
you're talking about, you know, the idea of this guy marrying, you know, getting pregnant at 13-year-old.
Uh-huh.
The family story, and I have a grand aunt or great grand aunt or somebody.
Not all male cheerleaders are gay. Sorry, I had to read that headline.
My dad was a cheerleader.
Probably around 100 years ago where that's what happened. The girl was something like 12 or 13 years old when she got married.
I covered that earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
The story I've heard from my mom is something the fact that she would get in trouble from her husband because she would be out playing with the other kids rather than being home taking care of the house.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think the general idea was to get them that young so you could train the slavery into them really effectively.
Right. Yes.
Oh, here was another.
They were still a version that young.
Because, you know, slavery and marriage have so much in common even to this day.
Yes, they do.
Ah, here's another interesting little story. Another one of those lovely teachers, and I'm using the knowledge to coach.
Why can't these people keep their hands off the students?
Yeah, she had sex with a teenage boy. But, you know, again, you know, it got a little bit of notice, but, you know, it wasn't sensational because, you know, it wasn't a male coach with a male student.
Oh, hell, after Mary Kay Letourneau, this is, you know, it's old news now.
Yeah, but this one's frumpy, you know, at least Mary Kay Letourneau or as a...
That looks like somebody Clinton would sleep with.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, Monica. We mean it.
She's got... Except for the streak, she's got basically the same haircut. Anyhow.
Like Roseanne before the nose job.
Exactly.
You know, or like, ooh, you know, yeah, girl. she's going to get up, she's really going to get busted for this because, you know, unlike like the Florida teacher who Chris Baker said, you know, she's hot. You know, she's getting away with it. She's hot. But no, she, 29, she was diddling a 16-year-old. But fortunately, you know, they didn't do anything in the cheerleading studio or wherever they practice. But
well, that's good.
You know,
isn't
you know,
that nice?
Very
so
nice.
For those of you out there who, you know, think pedophilia is only for gay people, you know.
Yeah.
My brother actually married his high school teacher.
Really?
Of course, he had been put back twice. He had so he was 2 years older, and he was a senior.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the school year, I mean, they had held themselves back at the end of the school year. They started being in love officially, even though she was still married. But now they've been married for 30 years, and it's like
wow,
a totally great marriage.
Wow.
And who says the public school system can't do anything?
That's right.
David?
She's a great teacher, too. And she continued teaching.
David,
what
I've known you
teach?
For several years
art,
now.
Art.
I want to know what she teaches.
I've known you for several years now, and I want to know how it is that even in the amount of time you've been on this earth, you still manage to find the most twisted stories to tell.
That is not twisted at all. I mean, it's a really amazingly beautiful love story. And he was like 18 or 19 by the time. It wasn't like pedophilia.
I see.
But he was her student, and that is where they fell in love.
I've had one or two. I've had the hots for at least two teachers in my lifetime.
And God knows what would have happened to him without her. I mean, she saved his life, basically.
One was a gym teacher, and the other was a really cute English teacher who had a penchant for singing songs about the Beatles.
Should I pull out the Meg Christensen song "Ode to a Gym Teacher" for you?
I actually almost killed one of my gym teachers once. They found out just how good I am with an arrow.
Mm. I had a cute story here. It's not straight, not gay, but, you know, it's interesting. 18-year-old male Arizona State University student was arrested Sunday at the library, charged with indecent exposure and public sexual indecency. The suspect allegedly pulled his pants and underwear to mid-thigh to do the diddly while watching pornography on his laptop.
Oh,
God.
Oh, Lordy.
Asked why he went to the library to view pornography and masturbate, the suspect told police, "To be honest, the internet connection to my dorm isn't good enough."
It takes a long time to download those videos.
I saw
somebody
that.
Somebody needs to say that to some of the folks who hang out at Hollywood Cafe.
Anyhow, I just thought that was a cute story. You know, I don't know if he's gay or straight, but, you know.
Endlessly entertaining, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
We all know
sadly,
he has dial-up.
There's no picture of him. I still use dial-up. I scare people. I say, you know what?
Ooh.
It gets worse.
You got to wonder where their brain goes when they will pull a stunt like that. Yeah. I mean, what... You know.
Well, they're thinking with the South Bay.
Do you do a lot of surfing at home?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
But get ready for this, okay? This is kind of antiquated. I use dial-up AOL on a computer that's running Windows 98.
Well, I'm going to fess up. I've got 98, too.
So I tell people that.
But it's running on a big Pentium 4, okay?
My best friend used to have an Atari with a modem.
Hey.
Pentium 4. No. Mine's a Celeron processor.
Okay.
Ooh.
I have time.
I remember those.
At least
it's not a 286.
Oh, and speaking of
running
antiquated...
Thanks, Scotty.
Yes. If you would have been listening besides going out on the back patio sucking a fag or two...
There are speakers out there.
Well, then...
Then listen to them.
Jimmy?
No, I was on the phone for a while.
Were you talking about our people who are...
Pledges.
No.
Pledges, right?
Oh, our illustrious leader has made it back into the studio.
I just looked down here at the cities that we got the pledges from.
Yeah?
Is that real?
Friendswood and Pearland.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Another one's Houston.
Let's hear it for the east side.
I don't think I've ever been to Pearland.
How many times have I said this program and this station saved my life when I was stuck up in Conroe?
Hello.
Pearland's a growing area. They've got beautiful homes out there.
And if I remember my zip codes right, this one from Houston is actually a suburban one.
This show saved me from losing my ever-loving queer mind before I ever got to this show.
So, for those of you who, you know, three or four queers that live in the Montrose.
Yeah, call in now. Put us over our goal.
Yeah.
We're pretty close, actually.
We're close?
Yay. And if you haven't pledged before, you know.
If you're a virgin, we want you.
Ooh, baby, we'll treat
even
you
if
good.
You're not, if you get us over the number, we're going to be dancing in the studio.
Yeah. Virgin or slut, we'll take them all. Yeah.
We'll take them all. We'll take them.
It's all green.
Well, obviously, we take sluts.
They're not talking about me.
Well, bitch.
Who came in here?
Yeah, well, I'm
of sore parts.
Laugh it up. I'm up for the Lifetime Achievement Award there.
Hey, yeah. I'm in competition with you, Jeff.
You two could so go, if you'll excuse the term, head to head on that one.
Okay, we have a little shout here to Tigger. He sent us an email and sent us in more stamps there for his pledge. Tigger, we were going to save your letter that you sent us last week. We were going to save it till this week, but actually we're going to use it next week because our pledge drive will be again. We're doing pledge drive again next week.
Oh, we are?
Yes. Oh, that's right. I sent you the email.
And I don't have a computer yet.
Yeah. What we're doing here at KPFT is the pledge drive is being extended by 2 days. This is to avoid doing a 2-week pledge drive in the summer. Don't hold me to that. We'll have one more. One more tilling at the windmills, Don Quixote.
Oh, joy.
And hopefully all of you'll tell your friends out there we're going to have an extension so we don't have to do it again this summer.
Yes. So we're going to use... I want to read Tigger's letter on air, and last week we were just packed. Tigger's not feeling too well. He's not sure if he's got the flu or something else.
It's going around.
He sent in 15 stamps.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah.
Stamps. Unfortunately, last week he got 3 hours of static.
Ooh.
You may have actually been listening to the show, Tigger.
It was a better show than that. What?
No, if you want 3 hours of static, listen to George Bush speak.
Thank you.
See what happens when I don't come in.
Yes, it's all about you.
Well, it's a good thing we saved his letter then.
Yeah, so
I love the Tigger in the middle of the page. That's cute.
It is 3 a.m. Oh, I love that pretty picture.
It's so
art.
Good. They're so
how
good.
Sweet.
Our MBBs are some amazing artists.
Yes, it is 3 o'clock, so we have to tell you, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free, Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT 90.1 FM, Houston 89.5 Gallison, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
That would be KPFT Houston.
You can say 90.1 in the middle of it.
No, you can't.
You could tell them our phone number, though. It is
713-526-KPFT.
Again, 713-526-5738. Please call in with your pledges.
We got another letter here that was from RJ. Unfortunately, RJ, you didn't address it on the outside, so I opened it up and looked at it. You all remember RJ?
Oh.
Yes. That's RJ.
Cool.
Yeah. That's the guy who was writing to Stacy.
Yes.
Let me see. You have a picture?
Oh, he's adorable.
Well,
he's just frilling adorable.
He's one who sent a lot of letters back and forth to one of our...
Well, you would be more interested in his friends.
Ooh.
Sisters.
They're sisters?
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice.
Oh, his sisters.
Oh, his sisters.
His real sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant sisters as they were sisters.
No, not sisters with a snap. That's sister.
That's okay. Now I'm going to really offend my sisters. I like straight women, too.
Well, we have something in common because I love straight men.
Especially for dinner.
Gee, I wonder what that looks like without a shirt on.
So,
are you talking about RJ or
yes.
sisters?
I don't want to see that.
RJ looks like he's been working out.
So I don't want to see the girls without their shirts.
RJ, we'll pass it on to who you address the letter to. And then we got a letter from... I'm thinking this is Domingo. Who I haven't heard... Yeah, Domingo. Who we haven't heard from in a long time.
Ooh.
Where are you, Domingo?
That's a very large...
Well, these are all prisoner letters.
Oh, okay.
MBBs are men behind bars.
And he sent in one, and it's for David W.
Oh, that's me. Probably. No, maybe not David W.
David W. would be Engineer David.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
If the letters are right.
That's
so.
My middle name is W. That's whoa, weird.
Middle name's W?
William.
W?
No, William.
Your middle name's W?
Oh. After my grandfather.
They'd call him Bill.
So, we'll make sure that gets over to little David. Or not so little David. He's stuck down in Pasadena right now.
Poor David with big fat ass.
Pasadena.
That wasn't the end I was thinking was fat. I was thinking a little closer to above his neckline.
Whoa!
Love you, David.
Oh. Now you know why I show up here every week. Because if I ain't here...
All peace and love and harmony here in the here in the control room.
It's not very Pacifican of you.
Pacifican? Pacifican?
It's a word.
Sounds
a word.
Like an alien race.
If it communicates something, it's a word. Yeah. I had an English teacher tell me that.
I think we... You mean like Bushism? It communicates something.
It could.
That
I don't know what.
It communicates his inability to communicate, is what that is.
Oh, do we need to take a break?
I need to take a break. It's 3:04. I've been sitting here for a long time.
What are we playing?
Music.
Let's see. We got some peppy music on here.
Mine was peppy.
Yeah. Well, you want to play something else on your CD?
Yeah.
Which one?
Pick number 3.
3?
Mm-hmm. And you might have to speed up the first 30 seconds of that. It's got a long preamble. But it's great, great, spiffy. I'm starting to hear it.
There we go. Yeah. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back whenever. Take this opportunity. Call in 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support. Love us, hate us. We got at least, you know, and remember that thing called the Bill of Rights that, you know, lets us say what we want to say.
And this is Diane Rose, the Diane Rose Show. I'm signing off for tonight. I'll see you guys next month. Same time, same channel, 90.1.
And After Hours will continue after the music break with more of the insanity you've come to love and trust. After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT, Pacifica Radio for the Red States. It is our pledge drive, and we can use your pledge of support to KPFT. Let the people, the powers that be, know that the kind of programming we do may be dysfunctional, maybe a little different, maybe a little weird, but, you know, we at least cover the community. We're here, we're local, we're live, and we don't mean to offend. We're just here having a good time, informing, educating, titillating, whatever we can. So call in your pledge of support, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. And, you know, some music you don't hear elsewhere. You know the pledge? All right. Thank you, Nicholas. Ah! Our straight community. The queer... What is it? The queer mouth for the straight ear?
Oh, thanks, God.
That's right. We love our straight friends. Because remember, the technology's not completely there. We do need you straight people to create more homosexuals. So thank you, Nicholas, for your generous pledge. We are doing quite well. We are still looking for another virgin to pledging here to KPFT. And let's give you a little bit of music. Let me give you a little taste of music you ain't going to hear elsewhere. You know, this ain't Melissa. This ain't Elton. This isn't Rufus. You know, this is the kind of music you're going to hear twisted in here. So let's give you a little bit of the Bootlickers from the Automatic Ball Cleaner CD. A little thought for the day. I just did your boyfriend.
Tucking my hair's messed up, but I got a smile on my face. I just did your boyfriend.
Can't seem to get enough.
I just did your boyfriend. Jackie.
I'll bet you $10 that you ain't going to hear that over on commercial station.
Or radio with a twist. Anyway.
I just did. A catchy little tune.
We just said goodbye to Diane.
Diane.
Diane Rose. And wow, what a great segment.
Yeah, we kind of turned into a lot of stuff.
Yeah. There. Yeah. She is going to be a real, well, she is a real asset to this show.
I don't have your mics on in there yet.
Well, you do now.
I'm going to giggle now. He said asset.
No, it's so cool to have somebody that can
Beavis
talk about
thank you, Beavis
things
or
other than just solid GLBT issues, you know?
We went outside the box.
Because we're pissed off at Big W.
I love that she's so laid back.
Yeah.
She's just completely not going to get flustered.
I know.
I don't guess know how she does it. She does a remarkable job of going on a rant without ever getting worked.
Yes,
I exactly
know.
What I mean.
Without I wish a temper. I had it.
She's got the temperament of a Vulcan. It's just like, because nothing pleases people who are irritating than for you to act irritated.
That is what people who do all that stuff want. They want you to get irritated and worked up and flustered, and if you don't do that, they don't get what they want.
Is that how it goes?
They don't get the rise out of you that they planned on.
Have we had any new pledges?
Yeah, we had one while you were lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
While you were lost.
A straight person.
Who?
Self-identifying straight, and you know,
cool.
We do love, you know, we understand, you know,
people.
Yeah, we understand, you know, it wasn't a choice. You were born that way, and you can't help it.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
but we'd be glad to help you.
We
anytime.
We have quite a few straight people listening to this show.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Really,
I love it.
We must be one of the most entertaining things on at this hour, you know, because of all of the other radio shows, we have a tremendous percentage of straight people listening.
Well, let's face it, folks. It's either us or Insomniac music videos on cable. Okay,
I have had straight friends that have said, "Oh, I didn't know you were on that show. I was driving around and listening, or I was just listening." And so straight people do listen to us.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I listen to the Black Sunday show. I mean, I listen to lots.
Yeah.
You know. I listened about prenatal care,
remember,
and birthing, whatever, you know.
It was really funny.
KPFT is interesting.
It was really funny that one time that I walked into Lobos when they were still around.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
The cafe was open, and I was talking to somebody behind the counter,
mm-hmm.
and this gentleman walks up to me and goes, "Are you Merlin?" And I'm like, "Yes." And I'm like, "I heard you last night on the radio." And I'm like, "It's a little disturbing to know that your voice is that familiar." You know?
Yeah, right. I have been identified by my laugh.
There you go. There
the faggiest voice in radio?
I do have the faggiest voice in radio.
Still now and forever.
Although I used to sometimes think the guy on the computer show and you were the same person before.
Whoa.
I paid attention.
Although if
Jay
we ever
Lee?
Get...
Yeah.
You look more like Jay Lee than he does.
We're not talking about television, dear.
I know Jay Lee's a good
That's because
buddy
we
of
have
mine.
Faces made for television.
He's wonderful.
Yeah,
he's wonderful.
He is. And
I mean,
he's very,
that's,
very
that's
straight.
No insult to either of y'all.
No,
it's a compliment
no.
to both of you. You both have incredible senses of humor.
Thank you. Thank you. We met long ago when he was before. He was that well known. He was working at Half Price Books, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
And then he got computer savvy and
love Half Price Books.
Look at him now.
Lots of queers hang out there.
I mean, his show is really well known.
I used to listen to that show when I didn't have a computer just because it was so amusing.
Yeah. I mean, I listen into it, and I don't know the first thing about computers except going to email and looking up porn sites.
I can't even do that. What do you get?
But it's fun to listen to. Those guys have a good time.
And yeah. isn't, you yeah. know, and part of doing this, I mean, since this is not a visual media, mm-hmm. is you gotta be entertaining.
Yeah.
If you ain't entertain, if you don't put some of the giggle into this, some of the interest, some yeah. of the serious stuff, if you don't put the mix in there, you, ain't yeah, nobody yeah. gonna turn on the dial. Right.
Especially at this hour of night.
Especially at this hour yeah. of night. Because, you know, some people would rather, like some of our occasional callers, would rather obviously be downing a fifth.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why shows, segments like the leather segment is so popular.
Yeah.
You know, because, whoa, you never know what Mr. Snacks is going
never,
to do.
Never, never, never. Maybe one of these days she'll bring in some really pretty boys to, you know.
Some of those cute boys?
Listen, yes. all, you know, we're all pretty.
That's a...
You know, it's radio, honey.
Yeah,
we all
exactly. hey, hey. Let the folks on the other side of this microphone mm-hmm. can use their imaginations. I want the visuals. I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm in mm-hmm. the studio.
It's all about your inner whateverness.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Inner
yes.
whateverness. That's an interesting phrase. Right. Where did you come up with that one?
Oh, I like whateverness as a general concept.
I like that. That's like, cute.
In touch. One with a great whatever.
Yeah, like with that, the great whatever.
Like the kid we were talking at Hollywood last night with his T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
I'll try any position.
Well. Yeah.
Open to it for
open,
any position.
Open to try any position.
To try any position. You got to love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a further story on that boy that involves a relative.
Not on the air. Not on the air.
Hey, did I give any names?
No. Well, okay. But he's identifiable by...
Oh, no, he's not. There's probably 100 people who have that very same T-shirt.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let me tell you, when you see 100 people wearing the same...
listening, we've got straight people answering the phone tonight.
That's true. Right.
Yes.
We do have straight peoples in the house.
Yes.
You know, straight people doing the grunt work for us happy little queer folk.
Yep. Yeah, taking those
pledges. We love them for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
After hours is a little mommy and daddy.
Mm, yeah. yeah, more... Daddy, in some cases.
Well, Mama is going to be a mommy in just a few months.
Right. Yeah, true. That's yes. One of our straight people is quite with child.
Yes,
and she actually does look radiant. She looks beautiful.
Yeah,
and she
hasn't killed her husband.
Yeah, no.
She looks content. Like, oh boy.
Yeah,
that's good for her.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We don't know what goes on at home, but we can. But the husband's still alive, so this is good. This is a good sign.
He's a sweetheart too.
Yeah,
she's a good man.
She's not due till August. You know. You ever tried to be pregnant during the summer? Not a pretty picture.
He's pretty patient.
Theirs is not a praying mantis relationship.
Wait a minute. You're asking gay and bisexual men about being pregnant. Duh.
I've read about it.
gay men are full of something.
One of my lover's sister told him that.
Oops, they were listening.
Here comes the breeder.
one of my lover's sisters told him that being pregnant was like having sex for 9 months, and he immediately got jealous of her.
He's strutting in here all
so
butch-like.
So, Jason, what's it like being pregnant?
My wife being pregnant is like living in hell.
I was just saying what a nice guy you are.
It's 30 degrees outside, and on a daily basis, she's complaining it's hot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now when it's 110 degrees outside, I'm surprised she's not going to rip my head off and spit down my throat. Okay, and I have no air conditioning in my car.
Ooh.
Either, so I probably won't see y'all during the summer.
You might take refuge here, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are parts of this studio that are air conditioned.
Yeah. So you have to be careful that the number one sexually transmitted disease is pregnancy.
That's right.
Yes.
But if it wasn't for me, thou wouldn't be here.
Life.
That's right. Thank you very much, Mr. Breeder.
Life is a sexually transmitted terminal disease.
It's a genetic disease in my family.
What is the genetic disease in your family?
I believe he's referring to his brother.
Yeah, well, that's as close to a genetic disease as we could get.
My other uncle and supposedly a grandfather up in the chain there.
Wow.
There's about six of us.
Lots of sugar up in that.
Okay. David had an article he wanted to bring up their topic there. So let's do a little bit more roundtable.
The new gay team.
So you want me to do that or you talk some more or whatever?
No, let's do that.
Okay. Well, Merlin, I think people have heard me if they've been listening for a long time. I have this sort of rant, many rant about how we're finally having a generation gap in gay society, and it's wonderful that we have people that are old enough to stand around and go, well, those crazy kids, they don't know how to be gay properly. And Merlin had made the comment that some of his friends that come into Hollywood or different places with their straight friends, and he has a hard time telling which ones are gay and which aren't. And I came across this article in the Gay and Lesbian Review, which has been around for a long time, and it's a wonderful magazine about, you know, different gay books that come out in reviews and articles about stuff. So anyway, I'm just going to skim and read some of this article. It's a bit long, but I'm not going to read all of it, so... Derek, a 20-year-old college student from rural Ohio, came in to discuss his career. I just assume he was being gender-sensitive when he referred to his partner, because nothing about Derek or his mannerisms set off my gaydar. During our second discussion, I inadvertently referred to his partner as a she. Derek looked bewildered. Taylor is a he. We've been together for over a year, was my response to my clumsy apology. Sorry, I didn't realize you're gay. That became the inspiration for my book, The New Gay Teenager. Derek, now bordering on annoyance, corrected me. No, I'm not gay. I said Taylor was my partner. Derek is not self-hating, homophobic, or confused about who he is. He just doesn't think he's gay. Derek is not a lone exception. I have discovered through interviewing young women with physical or romantic attractions to women, talking to youth in gay straight alliances, reading young stories gathered by them, listening to young people who are at annual True Colors convention over the past decade, and reading the scientific literature. As teenagers with same-sex attractions become increasingly visible to themselves and others, the desire to name their same-sex sexuality is waning. They might use the gay word as shorthand method for describing their attractions, but implicit in their uses is a rejection of gay as identity, much less as a defining characteristic of their sense of self. But according to many gay liberated adults of my generation, gay youth should loyally follow a hard-won script and be visible political activists who fight for gay rights and denounce heterosexism and homophobia. After all, youths of all generations have endured ridicule because of their gender expression, can't openly date those who they love most because the same-sex romance in high school is still disparaged, believe they must conceal their secret longings from parents and friends. Today's youth should appreciate that my generation has done for them. Now it's their turn to assume the gay mantle, to take the lead in the gay pride parades, to write the polemics denouncing integration into the mainstream conservative religious leaders and materialism, to excuse these responsibilities, to betray the generations of sexual and gender warriors. Despite appearances, their increasing failure to embrace activism is less a harbinger of the end of gay rights and a sign that gay activism has succeeded so well. Young people with same-sex attractions are now freer than ever to be themselves, comfortable with their sexuality because they live in a youth culture that is increasingly nonchalant about diverse sexualities. This cohort may believe that same-sex partners should have the option to marry, can't imagine that parents oppose gay teachers in their schools, and embrace media and marketing implicitly portraying same-sex lives and homoeroticism. In sum, they wish that their elders would just get over it and learn to treat all people with respect. So that's kind of the gist of the beginning of it. And it says, the failure of gay to fit the lives of these young people is also reflected in the experience of 19-year-old Simone Sneed of Albany. Coming out as a full-fledged lesbian when she was 13, she's now taking it back. Gay has become too vanilla, irrelevant to her politics. The radical denunciation of homonormative culture. Over the years, I have met an ever-expanding population of queers,
polyamorous people, flexuals, genderqueers, boys, B-O-I-S, and boy-girl wonders, tranny fags and tranny chasers, hetero boys who used to be lesbians, lesbians who used to be hetero bio boys. The gay community has bought into consumerism, and gay is no longer appears to identify what that it has an identity that my peers and I are comfortable with, so please don't call me a lesbian. And I find that very interesting because I remember gay liberation times, and it was more radical, and it did deal much more with the general inequality of politics and everything. And anyway, so I thought it was really well put and very interesting in terms of, you know, what I've been seeing a lot of myself.
But the thing is,
No, we've been fighting labels for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a time there are women who, older women, who don't like the word lesbian.
Yeah,
they are gay women.
Mm-hmm.
And don't call them lesbians. They are gay women.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been fighting this label, the labels, all our lives.
Right.
I think we always will.
Wait, look at it this way. How, the alphabet soup we use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
GLBTQQI,
mm-hmm.
yada, yada, yada.
At some point, how many letters can... I mean, it's going to end up being, you know, like a Fiona Apple album title. You know?
It's like, you know, instead of using a triangle as our symbol, it's going to be a can of alphabet soup.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
And I think it's more the whole idea of why put any limits. And I don't think it really indicates so much a disrespect for what's went up before, but just, like they said, this is more of a flowering of that really being liberated.
Okay, but there has to be an overall title.
Yeah, I agree.
To encompass this all.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already have that.
I think
it's called human being.
You know what else might play into them not wanting to be called gay?
What?
Ever since, the early 90s at least,
mm-hmm.
every little, you know, three-year-old fart would go, oh, that's so gay. You're so gay. I mean, anything weird was gay right up through high school. Oh. So they grew up with what was kind of, not even in a sexual way, but it was just like, you know.
It has such a negative connotation to it.
No, it was more like it's not cool. You know,
that's the way queer was, you know.
Yeah,
I must confess to being really, on some level, irritated by the people who get all worked up about all these labels.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if the only word we're going to use is human being, which covers all of us. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to have
other
defined.
It's sort of along the same lines when I get irritated by the phrase differently abled.
Oh, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. some idiot came up with.
Right, right.
And, you know.
As opposed to same abled?
you know. And I'm like, on that level, that would also mean everybody.
Right.
You know, and on some level is the great equalizer,
mm-hmm.
but we're not all the absolutely identical. We're not all the same people. Mm-hmm. Some of us do like guys. Some of us like girls. Are girls who like girls. Some of us are guys who like guys. Some of us like both. We have names for these things.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, we should be proud of, on some level, I think we should be proud of whatever that name
Absolutely.
Is that applies to our particular situation.
Yes.
Now, we can blanket that thing under one title, and that's great. But I don't think that should deny us our... I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of pompous on some level
we want labels for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I think they're also objecting maybe
labeling me as queer, disabled, mm-hmm. pagan, you know.
I think they're objecting to some of the political, not political, but the party line of political correctness that has grown up in the gay community,
mm-hmm.
and some of the ruts that
gay social life can lead to.
Well, yeah.
And I tell you, I really, from my experience with the younger kids, they are so much more accepting of so many more such a variety of lifestyles, and really, really completely okay with them, than a lot of older gay people are.
Sure.
A lot of gay people get all, they pucker their sphincter when they hear about certain lifestyles or whatever, you know? So, I, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I don't think they're rejecting anything about their sexuality, and unfortunately, there how is there a graceful sort of carrying on of the tradition?
And, I think there's
and
a lot of older people
not falling into the traps.
I think there's a lot of, however, I do think there's a lot of older people, people older than Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
who for one reason or another are quite content to still be hung up on, you know, being identified as queer, mm-hmm. being identified as, you know, and having that be part of their identity, because, you know, and they want to hide behind the idea that it's not that important. I'm like, yeah, well, when you're fighting for the right to do one thing or another that straight people get to do without a blink,
mm-hmm.
or without signing an, you know, a yes. document, I happen to think that whatever your age you're at, you need to stand up.
Absolutely.
And you need to be known that you are amongst these people, and sure. you need mm-hmm. to be
yes.
I think part of where, you know, like when, with using the label queer, what might be with an older generation, what I can see there, is there had that negative connotation to it.
Mm-hmm. And
if you look yes. over at the African-American mm-hmm. community, mm-hmm. look at the N-word.
Right.
And look at how the older generation, that is like driving a knife into some of them.
Right.
But when a younger person, of course it's two. It's always two on the CD. Next, hands me the CD to start to prompt the next show. It's always CD too. But you know, it's mm-hmm. that's the thing is, you know, the older generation of the African American who went through the civil rights movement, who, you know, who sat at the lunch counters, who decided not to sit in the back of the bus. Those people, you use the N word around them, and them's fighting words.
So. I know, but yeah. you know, you were just talking about people over 50. Who don't like the word queer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just started this whole thing about the younger generation not liking the word gay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's, so we're in full circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, I think part of it, too, is what at least what I hear from this and hear from the mouth of babes is... Some of them are really babes. But anyway...
many levels.
Yeah. So, but anyway, is that... Yes, I'm for marriage, same-sex marriage. Yes, I am for everybody having equal rights, but I really want it for everybody. And I'm not going to forget about everybody and just be for gay causes. In the same way that before AIDS hit, I mean, I've always been fairly politically engaged and really, you know, cared about suffering in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And before AIDS hit, if you talk to gay people in gay society about that kind of politics, oh, you're a buzzkill. Get the heck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when AIDS hits, it's like nobody cares about us, and that was true. But it was like, well, you didn't seem to care about anybody else but yourself until all of a sudden there was AIDS. And I think it's coming a full circle back, too, because you have somebody like Coretta King who just died. Now, a lot of people in the black community probably would wish she would have just stuck to black issues. But she stood up for gay rights. She stood up for everything. Martin Luther King was against the war. It was, and they said, don't do that. Don't be against the war. That's not our territory. That's not a black issue. Well, and I think that's what the kids are more like. It's like, why can't we just really care about everybody's rights all in one package and nobody gets left behind?
Dr. Martin Luther King said, I may be paraphrasing, I'm not sure exactly what he said, but none of us are free unless all of us
are
free.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And, you know,
and so I honor the kids for feeling that way.
You were, you know, and having brought up the subject of, you know, queer rights and AIDS mm-hmm. is... It's interesting that we talk about queer being a negative term, because now we have so many people who use those negative terms within their communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
And I can think of one very specific name that directly related to AIDS. Queer Nation. The idea, to me, when I was in college, when I, you know, during my short stint in college, the being absolutely stunned that across a college campus on Long Island came a young man, I literally went double take, and when I saw a t-shirt that said Queer Nation on a college campus circa 1988
and 89. And it was radical. It was a very radical idea.
Well, it really gave you the sense of the numbers and the cohesion.
Yes.
Yeah. And but somebody was taking that word, which had been so used to hurt us, and saying, no, that's me, and you're just going to have to deal with me now. Because I'm not alone.
And also, at the same time, act up with the Pink Triangle.
Yes, and the Pink Triangle.
Taking a symbol of Nazi persecution and turning it into a positive, saying,
absolutely.
Because, you know, you can't be hurt unless you let somebody hurt
you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the main thing.
But I think David was right, that prior to AIDS, gay men were children and adolescents.
Yep.
In their mind, they didn't grow up. They for the most part, they were not active in causes. They were. It was a pleasure.
Well, it was a fortress. It was a fortress mentality because we were surrounded with such hostility. So it became very insular.
Yes.
I mean, it's all very. It makes sense, you know.
I've said this before on the show that, you know, in some very twisted way. You know, we may have had the Mattachine, we may have had Stonewall, you know, and, you know, Harvey Milk and all of that. But I truly believe that on some level that AIDS brought us together enough as a community when it was our physical lives in danger in massive numbers.
Yes.
We came together and said, look, we don't give a what you think of what we do in our bedrooms. We are all human beings who are dying.
We came of age.
You know, we came of age when our lives were threatened in large numbers.
Well, that's the thing. That's one of the basic, you know, spiritual principles at work in the world. Is one of the ways you learn compassion is by suffering.
Yes. Yeah.
I was just thinking when I first became aware of the word gay, when I first heard it, what I picked up was that image, the happy-go-lucky, you know, tripping through the tulips stereotype. But it's sort of like that, and that image kind of still sticks in my mind. But let's get, you know, the original word of gay, meaning for gay, was just kind of happy.
Yes.
So there you go. Yeah, the Gay Before Say movie.
Yeah.
The title had nothing to do with, you know, Rock Hudson's movie. Yeah.
How many musicals had the word gay?
That was a Fred Astaire movie.
How many musicals had the word gay in it as a symbol of happy?
But, you know, I think there's also, I think, again, with the kind of kids thing, is that, you know, like the N-word, okay, it was taken back, the gay word, the queer word, whatever. But, you know, I think there's a certain point that all of us have heard some rap song. And go, you know, there's a whole big vocabulary out there. Does every single other word in the world, that song have to be the N-word? We get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, there's a middle ground somewhere.
And I think also with gay, I think why some the younger generation may be turning away from it is, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, gay and lesbian was chic.
Right, right.
You know, it was like, you know, let me go to my wardrobe closet. Today I'll wear the homosexual.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I'm saying is part of the way young people define themselves the way we all did is by pushing against some kind of sacred cow. You know, and it's real satisfying when the older people go, what do y'all think y'all are doing? How dare you?
Somebody said just the other day on TV that, you know, it used to be that gay was box office or TV poison. And today, you can't
do a sitcom without a queer character.
That's right.
But it's, you know,
my goddess, you can't do it.
I watched
a Disney movie. Disney, it was
Aladdin?
No. This is one made for the Disney Channel. It was high school. I forget what it is. It was all about this jock who could sing and was going to try out for a play, for a musical and all that. So there was a lot of these little undertones, and there was this one scene where they're, you know, everyone's talking about the stereotypes. You know, so here's this the captain of the basketball team who wants to go and sing. There's another guy on the basketball team who is a closet baker.
There you go.
So he's walking around with a creme brulee.
Yeah.
And so
talented.
The guy who's trying to sing, he's working with a drama club, and they are. I already wrote all that down, Jimmy.
I know.
Oh. And you, the co-president of the drama club. Flaming little teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you get to the point where you don't think he can be any more of a flaming drama club co-president.
He sets the set on fire?
I swear the outfit he wore at the end for the big musical finale, he stole it from Michael Jackson's closet.
There you go.
And there was this one part where the kid who did all the closet baking was trying to give the female president, who is the gay guy's sister, was trying to give her some cookies he made for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want them, but her brother took them. And it was just, real briefly, the two made an eye contact there. And it was like, I'm going, my God, did they just have a gay moment in a Disney film?
But that's the thing, is a lot of these straight boys are brave enough to have a gay moment, and it doesn't shatter their whole sense of identity.
But see, then the whole thing was ruined at the end when the sister actually tried one of the cookies and came in and pounced on the guy.
Well, maybe he really was cookies. Straight.
But after all, there hadn't been another gay moment on a Disney film since Timon danced in a grass skirt in front of a bunch of hyenas.
Right.
You know.
But you know, one thing I just thought of too was in terms of the thing is, you know, even it's way too much like fundamentalist breeders to want the next generation to be just like us. I mean, ideally, you want the next generation to expand on what has been done by the previous generation and to go beyond, the wildest dreams of the information.
And I'd like to have great hopes that that actually happens.
You gotta hope, even if it seems impossible.
It's those, you know, we have one or two great examples of younger generation who actually give a crap about what the future holds for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our resident mascot, who, by the way, says hello. There are a handful of younger people, and hopefully, on some level, those will be enough voices.
Mm-hmm.
That actually make stuff happen in the future.
Well, and I think that for the first time, a lot of the people who are really in this all together and not divided up are a lot of the straight kids, like with all the gay straight alliances happening in high school.
Yeah.
You know, these are people who are really looking at a vision of the future where you don't have to lose your high school friends when you come out. You don't have to lose your
absolutely.
Family when you come out.
And for the straight kids, you don't have to live obsessively by the same bigotries and the same stereotypes that your parents
or grandparents. Yeah, so you end up with more friends and a wider variety of kinds of friends, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but could it also be the fact that, like, the straight kids start in GSAs? It's like, could it just be that, you know, you really just can't piss off your parents enough just coming out being gay now. So why not rock the whole system by trying to put in a GSA?
Whatever. At least their sense of vengeance is in the right place.
I mean, coming out anymore, you know, to some parents, it's a shocker. The other ones like, oh,
Exactly,
you
know, yeah.
We could have told you that 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's like, honey, we knew. We saw what you wore to the prom.
And who you wore it with.
And who you
were. It's just...
Let me step in real quick while we
sure.
interrupt here and let everyone remind everyone that this is Pledge Drive.
Yes.
And I'm here at KPFT. If you found anything that we've said tonight stimulating,
controversial,
controversial, made you think, something that made you go, they may have a point there, or
what the?
Who are these idiots? However you...
As if you don't know by now.
Yeah. I mean, however you feel about it, you know, the fact is, it's 4:10, and you're still listening to us.
Yep.
So some part of you was inspired, insomniized, to be up here this late and listening to this program.
Tranquilized.
Untranquilized.
Untranquilized.
Or full moon, in a full moon tizzy.
Yeah. Right. So... take this time and call in your pledge of support, 713-526-5738. And, you know, throw a couple shekels our way. You know, let the powers that be here at the station know that, you know, you heard something good on at night. Something that made you think.
Something that maybe made you wake up in a better mood tomorrow morning.
Because, I mean, you know, there's so much drivel on, you know, on radio, on television, in the movies, on the internet. Mm-hmm. There's so much of it out there. And this is something that grabbed your attention and held on for a little bit. And made you think. And let someone else know. Let them know at 713-526-5738. If you were worried, the breeders have gone, so we've got David out there, so he'll take your call.
There you go.
And Jimmy's out there, too. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you have to do. You have to let your voice be heard. And one thing with this show is we try and bring in enough different voices that you're going to hear it. And, you know, like we say, we don't expect anyone to agree. I'd be afraid if someone agrees with everything
you
said.
Oh, yes. It's boring to just talk to and listen to people you agree with.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't mind playing the devil's advocate when need be.
Mm. Yeah.
Satan and I are good
sometimes
friends.
He is the devil himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have been called evil incarnate.
You know, there's a saying that goes that, you know, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Hey, mm-hmm. There you go.
Stand for something. If you think we're crazy, if you think we're right, if you think we, you know... Or you think we're crazy and we still have the right to say what we say.
Yeah.
Pick up that phone. Call us. Let us know that this means something to you. You know, for the most part, we say what we're thinking. And we're not afraid to.
Maybe we don't use all the words we're thinking FCC.
But the FCC would get very upset with us.
When you look at radio world,
the show
would
be 10 hours long, too.
That, too.
That long-haired, goofy guy up in New York got, what, $500 million to go talk on a satellite?
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know...
And he just irritates me.
and now Oprah signed a deal...
God,
I'm want to get the satellite radio because I want to see if Oprah decides to go blue like Howard Stern does when she goes to XM Radio.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
That would be interesting.
You know what somebody said? I think it was on the Jon Stewart the show. There was when she was really mean and stern mm-hmm. with the guy who wrote the memoir that's slightly faked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, he said, I was glad. He says, you know, Oprah bitch slapped him. He says, well, there you go. He says, now I can't wait till she does it with Dr. Phil.
Hello.
Well, yeah. She may not go blue, but she could at least go purple.
There you go. Yes. The color purple.
I mean, you know, those people got, you know, millions of dollars thrown at them
yes.
to blather on their opinion for And then you have to pay $9.95 a month to hear them blather on.
Have you been hearing about this, the thing with, I don't watch the Colbert Report, but it's pretty funny. And he created a new word that got picked as the word of the year, and then they didn't give him credit, so he pitched a fit, and then they gave him credit. And it's truthiness.
Yeah.
And truthiness means something that has no factual basis whatsoever, but you want it to be true, so it is true.
Yeah, then I also heard reports that actually there was, a long time ago, there was a word called truthiness.
Was there? Well, maybe there is. Who can believe anybody?
You mean like everything that George Bush said?
Exactly, like the whole Iraq War.
The whole Iraq War, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only truth in the Iraq War is that we've got, 2,000 and some odd dead. And,
well, yeah.
You know.
Nothing truthy in this about that.
You want it to be true.
Yeah.
You want that to be a lie, but it's not. Anyhow.
But, like I said, we are after hours.
Yeah.
We're really with attitude, and, we kind of skewered outside the box a lot today. We didn't stick with the... as much with the GLBT.
Well, I enjoyed your ranting, by the way. And that was pretty, close to home.
Yeah.
You rant well.
I actually was working on it earlier tonight.
He had that plan.
I think it's important to the safety of the world that you do vent your frustration every now and then.
Oh, yeah. My therapist would agree. She diagnosed me with a rage just below the surface.
Are you sure it's below?
Well, I love her, for those of you with that rage right below the surface, a wiffle ball bat.
Yes.
Or what we used to call a damn it doll.
Right. Raging tendencies.
Yeah. Or, another great thing on those, it works a couple different ways there. Play-Doh. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Because you sit there and just squeeze a ball of Play-Doh, and, it's firm. You get that coolness feeling with the squeezing. And the smell just takes you back to your childhood.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing.
You know what I think else works?
We need to send W a bunch of Play-Doh.
There you go. You know what I feel?
Certainly the right
works?
Age bracket. Right.
And you won't choke on it like a pretzel.
Silly putty. You take the newspaper, you get one of those pictures of George, you put the silly putty on there, and then you can take that silly putty and stretch his face until he looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Stretch it until he looks like Chaney.
You could probably set it on fire, too.
There you go. The Play-Doh.
We're coming at the end here.
Silly.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
It is a full moon night,
That's well, sort of full moon Sunday.
Yeah,
technically.
Really? Oh, okay.
The ritual I did was tonight, but
so we have another fun of a night of fun, fun and full moon festivities ahead.
So last chance for you to call in a pledge this week. If not, hopefully payday will strike for you on Friday and next Friday. And we'll get you then.
And thanks to everybody that did call in. We always love it when a virgin loses their virginity. It's a special occasion.
Right. Absolutely.
It didn't hurt.
Yes, we were gentle and
we like to pop more cherries than Smuckers.
Now you don't have to worry about it anymore.
So with all that,
I couldn't think of who else does cherries.
Much love, blessed be. See you next.
Yay.
So let's thank one last time. Let's thank
Nicholas,
Paul, Jim, Scott, and
Scotty.
Cindy.
Scotty.
Yay.
For Scotty.
And Cindy is a long-term listener to,
to
After Hours.
Yay.
She's been listening to this show since Buddy was the producer.
Ooh, that's a millennium ago.
We're talking about, she's been listening since
quite literally a millennium ago.
So we're just a little under. So if you want to call in a little pledge of support, $50 plastic, we send you the Transamerica CD. You get to hear Dolly Parton sing.
Hey, love Dolly. Right.
Mm.
Love right, Dolly. Right.
Did you see? Anybody see the Grammys?
No.
Missed them.
Let me tell you about the talent that they had on the stage for the last number. There was so much talent. Bonnie Raitt was in the chorus.
Wow.
How was
she
the...
was a backup singer. It was incredible. Wow.
Are you kidding? She hasn't been a backup singer since Live Aid.
How was the Madonna and the Gorillaz thing? Because I love the Gorillaz. I just got turned on to them recently. I thought, wow, what? That's an interesting idea.
Okay.
Did it work?
I missed that. Okay. I only saw it the last about
They're the group that are cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting near that time.
It is. Keep stretching. Say your goodbyes.
Bye-bye. Be safe.
Love. Blessed keep be. Warm. Happy full moon. All that goodness.
Make your dream.
Happy
follow
late,
your dreams.
Late in bulk.
And the Fags and Dykes will be back next week.
Yay.
All that happiness.
And poetry next week.
Yes.
Send me poems.
Our poetry night is next week.
Yeah.
So all our MBBs out there, send in your poetry.
I need to
sleep tight
to get to writing.
All right.
Community-based, listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, 90.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.